The Analects of Confucius from the Chinese Classics. Confucius. Listen to and download free AI-generated audiobooks at 3ords.com. The Project Gutenberg ebook of The Analects of Confucius from the Chinese Classics. This ebook is for the use of anyone anywhere in the United States and most other parts of the world at no cost and with almost no restrictions whatsoever. You may copy it, give it away, or reuse it under the terms. The Project Gutenberg license included with this ebook or online at www.gutenberg.org. If you are not located in the United States, you will have to check the laws of the country where you are located before using this ebook. Title: The Analects of Confucius from the Chinese Classics. Author: Confucius. Translator: James Legg. Release date: July 1, 2002. Ebook 3330. Most recently updated: January 8, 2021. Language: English. Other information and formats: www.gutenberg.org/ebook/3330. Asterisk: Start of the Project Gutenberg EBOOK The Analects of Confucius from the Chinese CLASSICS. Asterisk: A note from the digitizer. This digitized version preserves the original page breaks. It is the English translation portion of the Confucian Analects, which is one part of Legge's The Chinese CLASSICS. The Prolegomena, The Great Learning, and The Doctrine of the Mean can be found in other Project Gutenberg files. The original Chinese of the Confucian Analects and Legge's notes are presented, along with this English translation in other Project Gutenberg files, the Chinese CLASSICS, with a translation, critical and exegetical, notes, prolegomena, and copious indexes, by James Legg, in 5 volumes. Confucian Analects, The Great Learning, The Doctrine of the Mean, Confucian Analects, Book IHSIOR, Chapter I-1, The master said, "Is it not pleasant to learn with a constant perseverance and application too? Is it not delightful to have friends coming from distant quarters? 3. Is he not a man of complete virtue who feels no discomposure though men may take no note of him?" Chap. II-1. The philosopher Yu said, "They are few who, being filial and fraternal, are fond of offending against their superiors. There have been none who, not liking to offend against their superiors, have been fond of stirring up confusion too. The superior man bends his attention to what is radical, that being established, all practical courses naturally grow up. Filial piety and fraternal submission, are they not the root of all benevolent actions?" Chap. II. The master said, "Fine words and an insinuating appearance are seldom associated with true virtue." Chap. IV. The philosopher Tsang said, "I daily examine myself on 3 points, whether in transacting business for others I may have been not faithful, whether in intercourse with friends I may have been not sincere, whether I may have not mastered and practiced the instructions of my teacher." Chap. V. The master said, "To rule a country of 1,000 chariots, there must be reverent attention to business and sincerity, economy in expenditure, and love for men, and the employment of the people at the proper seasons." Chap. VI. The master said, "A youth when at home should be filial and abroad respectful to his elders. He should be earnest and truthful. He should overflow in love to all and cultivate the friendship of the good. When he has time and opportunity, after the performance of these things, he should employ them in polite studies." Chap. VII. Tshiecha said, "If a man withdraws his mind from the love of beauty and applies it as sincerely to the love of the virtuous, if in serving his parents he can exert his utmost strength, if in serving his prince he can devote his life, if in his intercourse with his friends his words are sincere, although men say that he has not learned, I will certainly say that he has." Chap. VII. 1. The master said, "If the scholar be not grave, he will not call forth any veneration, and his learning will not be solid." 2. Hold faithfulness and sincerity as first principles. 3. Have no friends not equal to yourself. 4. When you have faults, do not fear to abandon them. Chap. IX. The philosopher Tsang said, "Let there be a careful attention to perform the funeral rites to parents, and let them be followed when long gone with the ceremonies of sacrifice. Then the virtue of the people will resume its proper excellence." Chap. X1. Tishi Siachin asked Tishi Kung, saying, "When our master comes to any country, he does not fail to learn all about its government. Does he ask his information, or is it given to him?" 2. Tishi Kung said, "Our master is benign, upright, courteous, temperate, and complacent, and thus he gets his information. The master's mode of asking information, is it not different from that of other men?" Chap. XI. The master said, "While a man's father is alive, look at the bent of his will. When his father is dead, look at his conduct. if for 3 years he does not alter from the way of his father, he may be called filial. Chap. XII. 1. The philosopher Yu said, in practicing the rules of propriety, a natural ease is to be prized. In the ways prescribed by the ancient kings, this is the excellent quality, and in things small and great we follow them. 2. Yet it is not to be observed in all cases, if one knowing how such ease should be prized, manifests it, without regulating it, by the rules of propriety, this likewise is not to be done. Chap. XII. The philosopher Yu said, when agreements are made according to what is right, what is spoken can be made good. When respect is shown according to what is proper, one keeps far from shame and disgrace. When the parties upon whom a man leans are proper persons to be intimate with, he can make them his guides and masters. Chap. XIV. The master said, he who aims to be a man of complete virtue in his food does not seek to gratify his appetite, nor in his dwelling place does he seek the appliances of ease. He is earnest in what he is doing and careful in his speech. He frequents the company of men of principle that he may be rectified. Such a person may be said indeed to love to learn. Chap. XV1. Ti Shi Kung said, what do you pronounce concerning the poor man who yet does not flatter and the rich man who is not proud? The master replied, they will do, but they are not equal to him who, though poor, is yet cheerful, and to him who, though rich, loves the rules of propriety. 2. Ti Shi Kung replied, it is said in the book of poetry, as you cut and then file, as you carve and then polish. The meaning is the same, I apprehend, as that which you have just expressed. 3. The master said, with one like TSC, I can begin to talk about the odes. I told him one point, and he knew its proper sequence. Chap. XVI. The master said, I will not be afflicted at men's not knowing me. I will be afflicted that I do not know men. Book II. Wei Chang. Chap. I. The master said, he who exercises government by means of his virtue may be compared to the North Polar Star, which keeps its place and all the stars turn towards it. Chap. II. The master said, in the book of poetry are 300 pieces, but the design of them all may be embraced in one sentence, having no depraved thoughts. Chap. II. 1. The master said, if the people be led by laws and uniformity sought to be given them by punishments, they will try to avoid the punishment, but have no sense of shame. 2. If they be led by virtue and uniformity sought to be given them by the rules of propriety, they will have the sense of shame, and moreover will become good. Chap. IV1. The master said, at 15, I had my mind bent on learning. 2. At 30, I stood firm. 3. At 40, I had no doubts. 4. At 50, I knew the decrees of heaven. 5. At 60, my ear was an obedient organ for the reception of truth. 6. At 70, I could follow what my heart desired without transgressing what was right. Chap. V1. Mang, I asked what filial piety was. The master said, it is not being disobedient. 2. Soon after, as Fan Si Chi was driving him, the master told him, saying, Mang Sun asked me what filial piety was, and I answered him, not being disobedient. 3. Fan Si Chi said, what did you mean? The master replied, that parents, when alive, be served according to propriety, that when dead, they should be buried according to propriety, and that they should be sacrificed to according to propriety. Chap. VI. Mang Wu asked what filial piety was. The master said, parents are anxious lest their children should be sick. Chap. VII. Ti Shi Yu asked what filial piety was. The master said, the filial piety of nowadays means the support of one's parents, but dogs and horses likewise are able to do something in the way of support. Without reverence, what is there to distinguish the one support given from the other? Chap. VII. Ti Shi Cha asked what filial piety was. The master said, the difficulty is with the countenance. If when their elders have any troublesome affairs, the young take the toil of them, and if when the young have wine and food, they set them before their elders, is this to be considered filial piety? Chap. IX. The master said, I have talked with Hui for a whole day, and he has not made any objection to anything I said, as if he were stupid. He has retired, and I have examined his conduct, went away from me, and found him able to illustrate my teachings. Hui, he is not stupid. Chap. X1. The master said, see what a man does, too. Mark his motives. 3. Examine in what things he rests. 4. How can a man conceal his character? 5. How can a man conceal his character? Chap. XI. The master said, if a man keeps cherishing his old knowledge so as continually to be acquiring new, he may be a teacher of others. Chap. XII. The master said, the accomplished scholar is not a utensil. Chap. XIII. Ti Shi Kung asked what constituted the superior man. The master said, he acts before he speaks, and afterwards speaks according to his actions. Chap. XIV. The master said, "The superior man is Catholic and no partisan. The mean man is partisan and not Catholic." Chap. XV. The master said, "Learning without thought is labor lost. Thought without learning is perilous." Chap. XVI. The master said, "The study of strange doctrines is injurious indeed." Chap. XVII. The master said, "You shall I teach you what knowledge is. When you know a thing, to hold that you know it, and when you do not know a thing, to allow that you do not know it, this is knowledge." Chap. XVII. 1. Tishi Cheng was learning with a view to official emolument. 2. Master said, "Hear much and put aside the points of which you stand in doubt, while you speak cautiously at the same time of the others. Then you will afford few occasions for blame. See much and put aside the things which seem perilous, while you are cautious at the same time in carrying the others into practice. Then you will have few occasions for repentance. When one gives few occasions for blame in his words and few occasions for repentance in his conduct, he is in the way to get emolument." Chap. XIX. The Duke Ai asked, saying, "What should be done in order to secure the submission of the people?" Confucius replied, "Advance the upright and set aside the crooked, then the people will submit. Advance the crooked and set aside the upright, then the people will not submit." Chap. XX. Kai Kang asked how to cause the people to reverence their ruler, to be faithful to him, and to go on to nerve themselves to virtue. The master said, "Let him preside over them with gravity, then they will reverence him. Let him be filial and kind to all, then they will be faithful to him. Let him advance the good and teach the incompetent, then they will eagerly seek to be virtuous." Chap. XXI. 1. Someone addressed Confucius, saying, "Sir, why are you not engaged in the government?" 2. The master said, "What does the Shuqing say of filial piety? You are filial, you discharge your brotherly duties. These qualities are displayed in government. This then also constitutes the exercise of government. Why must there be that making one be in the government?" Chap. XXII. The master said, "I do not know how a man without truthfulness is to get on. How can a large carriage be made to go without the crossbar for yoking the oxen to, or a small carriage without the arrangement for yoking the horses?" Chap. XXII. 1. Tishi Cheng asked whether the affairs of 10 ages after could be known. 2. Confucius said, "The Yin dynasty followed the regulations of the Aisha, wherein it took from or added to them may be known. The Chao dynasty has followed the regulations of Yin, wherein it took from or added to them may be known. Some other may follow the Chao, but though it should be at the distance of 100 ages, its affairs may be known." Chap. XXIV. 1. The master said, "For a man to sacrifice to a spirit which does not belong to him is flattery. 2. To see what is right and not to do it is want of courage." Book III. PAYIH. Chap. I. Confucius said of the head of the Kai family, who had 8 rows of pantomimes in his area, "If he can bear to do this, what may he not bear to do?" Chap. II. The 3 families used the Yuan Ji ode while the vessels were being removed at the conclusion of the sacrifice. The master said, "Assisting are the princes, the Son of Heaven looks profound and grave. What application can these words have in the hall of the 3 families?" Chap. III. The master said, "If a man be without the virtues proper to humanity, what has he to do with the rights of propriety? If a man be without the virtues proper to humanity, what has he to do with music?" Chap. IV. 1. Lin Fang asked what was the first thing to be attended to in ceremonies. 2. The master said, "A great question indeed." 3. In festive ceremonies, it is better to be sparing than extravagant. In the ceremonies of mourning, it is better that there be deep sorrow than a minute attention to observances. Chap. V. The master said, "The rude tribes of the east and north have their princes and are not like the states of our great land, which are without them." Chap. VI. The chief of the Kai family was about to sacrifice to the Ti mountain. The master said to Zan Yu, "Can you not save him from this?" He answered, "I cannot." Confucius said, "Alas, will you say that the Ti mountain is not so discerning as Lin Fang?" Chap. VII. The master said, "The student of virtue has no contentions. If it be said he cannot avoid them, shall this be in archery? But he bows complacently to his competitors, thus he ascends the hall, descends, and exacts the forfeit of drinking. In his contention, he is still the Chun Tishi." Chap. VII. 1. Tishi Aisha asked, saying, "What is the meaning of the passage? The pretty dimples of her artful smile, the well-defined black and white of her eye, the plain ground for the colors." 2. The master said, "The business of laying on the colors follows the preparation of the plain ground." 3. "Ceremonies then are a subsequent thing?" The master said, "It is Shang who can bring out my meaning. Now I can begin to talk about the odes with him." Chap. IX. The master said, I could describe the ceremonies of the Aitcha dynasty, but Kai cannot sufficiently attest my words. I could describe the ceremonies of the Yin dynasty, but Sung cannot sufficiently attest my words. They cannot do so because of the insufficiency of their records and wise men. If those were sufficient, I could adduce them in support of my words. Chap. X. The master said, at the great sacrifice, after the pouring out of the libation, I have no wish to look on. Chap. XI. Someone asked the meaning of the great sacrifice. The master said, I do not know. He who knew its meaning would find it as easy to govern the kingdom as to look on this. Pointing to his palm, Chap. XII. 1. He sacrificed to the dead as if they were present. He sacrificed to the spirits as if the spirits were present. 2. The master said, I consider my not being present at the sacrifice as if I did not sacrifice. Chap. XII. 1. Wang Sun Chia asked, saying, what is the meaning of the saying, it is better to pay court to the furnace than to the southwest corner? 2. The master said, not so, he who offends against heaven has none to whom he can pray. Chap. XIV. The master said, Chao had the advantage of viewing the two past dynasties. How complete and elegant are its regulations, I follow Chao. Chap. XV. The master, when he entered the grand temple, asked about everything. Someone said, who will say that the son of the man of Sao knows the rules of propriety? He has entered the grand temple and asks about everything. The master heard the remark and said, this is a rule of propriety. Chap. XVI. The master said, in archery it is not going through the leather which is the principal thing, because people's strength is not equal. This was the old way. Chap. XVII. 1. Ti Shi Kung wished to do away with the offering of a sheep connected with the inauguration of the first day of each month. 2. The master said, TSZ, you love the sheep, I love the ceremony. Chap. XVII. The master said, the full observance of the rules of propriety in serving one's prince is accounted by people to be flattery. Chap. XIX. The Duke Ting asked how a prince should employ his ministers and how ministers should serve their prince. Confucius replied, a prince should employ his minister according to the rules of propriety. Ministers should serve their prince with faithfulness. Chap. XX. The master said, the Quan Su is expressive of enjoyment without being licentious and of grief without being hurtfully excessive. Chap. XXI. 1. The Duke Ai asked Tsai Wo about the altars of the spirits of the land. Tsai Wo replied, the Aitcha sovereign planted the pine tree about them, the men of the Yin planted the cypress, and the men of the Chao planted the chestnut tree, meaning, thereby to cause the people to be in awe. 2. When the master heard it, he said, things that are done, it is needless to speak about, things that have had their course, it is needless to remonstrate about, things that are past, it is needless to blame. Chap. XXII. 1. The master said, small indeed was the capacity of Quan Chung. 2. Someone said, was Quan Chung parsimonious? Quan, was the reply, had the San Kuei and his officers performed no double duties, how can he be considered parsimonious? 3. Then, did Quan Chung know the rules of propriety? The master said, the princes of states have a screen intercepting the view at their gates. Quan had likewise a screen at his gate. The princes of states on any friendly meeting between two of them had a stand on which to place their inverted cups. Quan had also such a stand. If Quan knew the rules of propriety, who does not know them? Chap. XXXII. The master instructing the grand music master of Lu said, how to play music may be known. At the commencement of the piece, all the parts should sound together. As it proceeds, they should be in harmony while severally distinct and flowing without break and thus on to the conclusion. Chap. XXIV. The border warden at Yi requested to be introduced to the master, saying, when men of superior virtue have come to this, I have never been denied the privilege of seeing them. The followers of the sage introduced him, and when he came out from the interview, he said, my friends, why are you distressed? By your master's loss of office? The kingdom has long been without the principles of truth and right. Heaven is going to use your master as a bell with its wooden tongue. Chap. XXV. The master said of the Shao that it was perfectly beautiful and also perfectly good. He said of the Wu that it was perfectly beautiful but not perfectly good. Chap. XXVI. The master said, high station filled without indulgent generosity, ceremonies performed without reverence, mourning conducted without sorrow. Wherewith should I contemplate such ways? Book IV. Li Jin Chap. I, the master said, it is virtuous manners which constitute the excellence of a neighborhood. If a man in selecting a residence do not fix on one where such prevail, how can he be wise? Chap. Aye, aye. The master said, those who are without virtue cannot abide long either in a condition of poverty and hardship or in a condition of enjoyment. The virtuous rest in virtue, the wise desire virtue. The master said, it is only the truly virtuous man who can love or who can hate others. The master said, if the will be set on virtue, there will be no practice of wickedness. The master said, riches and honors are what men desire. If it cannot be obtained in the proper way, they should not be held. Poverty and meanness are what men dislike. If it cannot be avoided in the proper way, they should not be avoided. 2. If a superior man abandon virtue, how can he fulfill the requirements of that name? 3. The superior man does not, even for the space of a single meal, act contrary to virtue. In moments of haste, he cleaves to it. In seasons of danger, he cleaves to it. 1. The master said, I have not seen a person who loved virtue or one who hated what was not virtuous. He who loved virtue would esteem nothing above it. He who hated what is not virtuous would practice virtue in such a way that he would not allow anything that is not virtuous to approach his person. 2. Is anyone able for one day to apply his strength to virtue? I have not seen the case in which his strength would be insufficient. 3. Should there possibly be any such case? I have not seen it. The master said, the faults of men are characteristic of the class to which they belong. By observing a man's faults, it may be known that he is virtuous. The master said, if a man in the morning hear the right way, he may die in the evening without regret. The master said, a scholar whose mind is set on truth and who is ashamed of bad clothes and bad food is not fit to be discoursed with. The master said, the superior man in the world does not set his mind either for anything or against anything. What is right he will follow. The master said, the superior man thinks of virtue, the small man thinks of comfort. The superior man thinks of the sanctions of law, the small man thinks of favors which he may receive. The master said, he who acts with a constant view to his own advantage will be much murmured against. The master said, if a prince is able to govern his kingdom with the complaisance proper to the rules of propriety, what difficulty will he have? He cannot govern it with that complaisance, what has he to do with the rules of propriety? The master said, a man should say, I am not concerned that I have no place, I am concerned how I may fit myself for one. I am not concerned that I am not known, I seek to be worthy to be known. The master said, Shan, my doctrine is that of an all-pervading unity. The disciple Tsang replied, yes. 2. The master went out, and the other disciples asked, saying, what do his words mean? Tsang said, the doctrine of our master is to be true to the principles of our nature and the benevolent exercise of them to others, this and nothing more. The master said, the mind of the superior man is conversant with righteousness, the mind of the mean man is conversant with gain. The master said, when we see men of worth, we should think of equaling them. When we see men of a contrary character, we should turn inwards and examine ourselves. The master said, in serving his parents, a son may remonstrate with them, but gently, when he sees that they do not incline to follow his advice, he shows an increased degree of reverence, but does not abandon his purpose, and should they punish him, he does not allow himself to murmur. The master said, while his parents are alive, the son may not go abroad to a distance. If he does go abroad, he must have a fixed place to which he goes. The master said, if the son for 3 years does not alter from the way of his father, he may be called filial. The master said, the years of parents may by no means not be kept in the memory as an occasion at once for joy and for fear. The master said, the reason why the ancients did not readily give utterance to their words was that they feared lest their actions should not come up to them. The master said, the cautious seldom err. The master said, the superior man wishes to be slow in his speech and earnest in his conduct. The master said, virtue is not left to stand alone, he who practices it will have neighbors. Tishiyu said, in serving a prince, frequent remonstrances lead to disgrace. Between friends, frequent reproofs make the friendship distant. Book V Kung Yi Sie Chang Chap. I 1. The master said of Kung Yi Sie Chang that he might be wived. Although he was put in bonds, he had not been guilty of any crime. Accordingly, he gave him his own daughter to wife. 2. Of Nan Young, he said that if the country were well governed, he would not be out of office, and if it were ill governed, he would escape punishment and disgrace. He gave him the daughter of his own elder brother to wife, Chap II. The master said of Tishi Qin, "Of superior virtue indeed is such a man. If there were not virtuous men in Lu, how could this man have acquired this character?" Chap II, Tishi Kung asked, "What do you say of me, TSC?" The master said, "You are a utensil." "What utensil?" "A gemmed, sacrificial utensil." Chap IV. Someone said, "Young is truly virtuous, but he is not ready with his tongue." 2. The master said, "What is the good of being ready with the tongue? They who encounter men with smartnesses of speech for the most part procure themselves hatred. I know not whether he be truly virtuous, but why should he show readiness of the tongue?" Chap V. The master was wishing CHETOKI to enter on official employment. He replied, "I am not yet able to rest in the assurance of this." The master was pleased. Chap VI. The master said, "My doctrines make no way. I will get upon a raft and float about on the sea. He that will accompany me will be you, I dare say." Tishi Lu hearing this was glad, upon which the master said, "You is fonder of daring than I am. He does not exercise his judgment upon matters." Chap VII. 1. Meng Wu asked about Tishi Lu, whether he was perfectly virtuous. The master said, "I do not know." 2. He asked again when the master replied, "In a kingdom of 1,000 chariots, you might be employed to manage the military levies, but I do not know whether he be perfectly virtuous." 3. "And what do you say of CHU?" The master replied, "In a city of 1,000 families or a clan of 100 chariots, CHU might be employed as governor, but I do not know whether he is perfectly virtuous." 4. "What do you say of CHA?" The master replied, "With his sash girt and standing in a court, CHE might be employed to converse with the visitors and guests, but I do not know whether he is perfectly virtuous." Chap VII. 1. The master said to Tishi Kung, "Which do you consider superior, yourself or Hui?" 2. Tishi Kung replied, "How dare I compare myself with Hui? Hui hears one point and knows all about a subject. I hear one point and know a second." 3. The master said, "You are not equal to him." "I grant you, you are not equal to him." Chap IX. Once I you being asleep during the daytime, the master said, "Rot wood cannot be carved, a wall of dirty earth will not receive the trowel. This you, what is the use of my reproving him?" 2. The master said, "At first my way with men was to hear their words and give them credit for their conduct. Now my way is to hear their words and look at their conduct. It is from you that I have learned to make this change." Chap X. The master said, "I have not seen a firm and unbending man." Someone replied, "There is Shan Xie Chang." "Xie Chang," said the master, "is under the influence of his passions. How can he be pronounced firm and unbending?" Chap XI. Tishi Kung said, "What I do not wish men to do to me, I also wish not to do to men." The master said, "TSZ, you have not attained to that." Chap XII. Tishi Kung said, "The master's personal displays of his principles and ordinary descriptions of them may be heard. His discourses about man's nature and the way of heaven cannot be heard." Chap XII. When Tishi Lu heard anything, if he had not yet succeeded in carrying it into practice, he was only afraid lest he should hear something else. Chap XIV. Tishi Kung asked, saying, "On what ground did Kung Wen get that title of Wan?" The master said, "He was of an active nature and yet fond of learning, and he was not ashamed to ask and learn of his inferiors. On these grounds he has been styled Wan." Chap XV. The master said of Tishi Xie Chan that he had four of the characteristics of a superior man. In his conduct of himself, he was humble. In serving his superiors, he was respectful. In nourishing the people, he was kind. In ordering the people, he was just. Chap XVI. The master said, "Yen Ping knew well how to maintain friendly intercourse. The acquaintance might be long, but he showed the same respect as at first." Chap XVII. The master said, "Tsang Wan kept a large tortoise in a house on the capitals of the pillars of which he had hills made, and with representations of duckweed on the small pillars above the beams supporting the rafters. Of what sort was his wisdom?" Chap XVII. 1. Tishi Chang asked, saying, "The minister Tishi Wan thrice took office and manifested no joy in his countenance. Thrice he retired from office and manifested no displeasure. He made it a point to inform the new minister of the way in which he had conducted the government. What do you say of him?" The master replied, "He was loyal." "Was he perfectly virtuous?" "I do not know. How can he be pronounced perfectly virtuous?" 2. Tishi Chang proceeded, "When the officer CHUE killed the prince of CHE, CA Chan Wan, though he was the owner of 40 horses, abandoned them and left the country. Coming to another state, he said, 'They are here like our great officer CHUE,' and left it. He came to a second state and with the same observation left it also. What do you say of him?" The master replied, "He was pure." Was he perfectly virtuous? I do not know. How can he be pronounced perfectly virtuous? Chap, XIX. Kai Wan thought thrice and then acted. When the master was informed of it, he said, twice may do. Chap, XX. The master said, when good order prevailed in his country, Ning Wu acted the part of a wise man. When his country was in disorder, he acted the part of a stupid man. Others may equal his wisdom, but they cannot equal his stupidity. Chap, XXI. When the master was in Xie Chan, he said, let me return, the little children of my school are ambitious and too hasty. They are accomplished and complete so far, but they do not know how to restrict and shape themselves. Chap, XXII. The master said, Poai and Shu Xiechi did not keep the former wickednesses of men in mind, and hence the resentments directed towards them were few. Chap, XXII. The master said, who says of Wei Shang Kao that he is upright? One begged some vinegar of him, and he begged it of a neighbor and gave it to the man. Chap, XXIV. The master said, fine words and insinuating appearance and excessive respect. So Xie Qiuming was ashamed of them. I also am ashamed of them. To conceal resentment against a person and appear friendly with him, so Xie Qiuming was ashamed of such conduct, I also am ashamed of it. Chap. XXV. Wen Yan Yuan and Kai Lu being by his side, the master said to them, come, let each of you tell his wishes. 2. Ti Shi Lu said, I should like having chariots and horses and light fur dresses to share them with my friends, and though they should spoil them, I would not be displeased. 3. Yan Yuan said, I should like not to boast of my excellence, nor to make a display of my meritorious deeds. 4. Ti Shi Lu then said, I should like, sir, to hear your wishes. The master said, they are in regard to the aged to give them rest, in regard to friends to show them sincerity, in regard to the young to treat them tenderly. Chap. XXVI. The master said, it is all over, I have not yet seen one who could perceive his faults and inwardly accuse himself. Chap. XXVII. The master said, in a hamlet of 10 families, there may be found one honorable and sincere as I am, but not so fond of learning. Book VI, Yuan Gyey Chap. I won. The master said, there is young. He might occupy the place of a prince. 2. Cheng Kung asked about Ti Shi Sang Po Ti Shi. The master said, he may pass. He does not mind small matters. 3. Cheng Kung said, if a man cherish in himself a reverential feeling of the necessity of attention to business, though he may be easy in small matters in his government of the people, that may be allowed. But if he cherish in himself that easy feeling and also carry it out in his practice, is not such an easy mode of procedure excessive? 4. The master said, Young's words are right. Chap. II. The Duke Ai asked which of the disciples loved to learn. Confucius replied to him, there was Yan Hui, he loved to learn. He did not transfer his anger, he did not repeat a fault. Unfortunately, his appointed time was short and he died, and now there is not such another. I have not yet heard of anyone who loves to learn as he did. Chap. II. 1. Tshwa being employed on a mission to Xiechi, the disciple Zan requested grain for his mother. The master said, give her a fu. Yen requested more. Give her an yu, said the master. Yen gave her 5 ping, 2. The master said, when Xiechi was proceeding to Xiechi, he had fat horses to his carriage and wore light furs. I have heard that a superior man helps the distressed but does not add to the wealth of the rich. 3. Yuan Shi being made governor of his town by the master, he gave him 900 measures of grain, but she declined them. 4. The master said, do not decline them. May you not give them away in the neighborhoods, hamlets, towns, and villages? Chap. IV. The master, speaking of Cheng Kung, said, if the calf of a brindled cow be red and horned, although men may not wish to use it, would the spirits of the mountains and rivers put it aside? Chap. V. The master said, such was Hui that for 3 months, there would be nothing in his mind contrary to perfect virtue. The others may attain to this on some days or in some months, but nothing more. Chap. VI. Kai Kang asked about Cheng Yu, whether he was fit to be employed as an officer of government. The master said, Yu is a man of decision. What difficulty would he find in being an officer of government? Kang asked, is TSC fit to be employed as an officer of government? And was answered, TSC is a man of intelligence. What difficulty would he find in being an officer of government? And to the same question about Chu, the master gave the same reply, saying, Chu is a man of various ability. Chap. VII. The chief of the Kai family sent to ask Min Tishi Xiechin to be governor of Pai. Min Tishi Xiechin said, decline the offer for me politely. If anyone come again to me with a second invitation, I shall be obliged to go and live on the banks of the Wan. Chap, VII, Ponyu being ill, the master went to ask for him. He took hold of his hand through the window and said, "It is killing him. It is the appointment of heaven, alas, that such a man should have such a sickness. That such a man should have such a sickness." Chap, IX. The master said, "Admirable indeed was the virtue of Hui. With a single bamboo dish of rice, a single gourd dish of drink, and living in his mean narrow lane while others could not, have endured the distress, he did not allow his joy to be affected by it. Admirable indeed was the virtue of Hui." Chap. XNCHU said, "It is not that I do not delight in your doctrines, but my strength is insufficient." The master said, "Those whose strength is insufficient give over in the middle of the way. But now you limit yourself." Chap. XI. The master said to Tishiacha, "Do you be a scholar, after the style of the superior man and not after that of the mean man?" Chap. XII. Tishiu being governor of Wuxiachang, the master said to him, "Have you got good men there?" He answered, "There is, Tan Ti Miming, who never in walking takes a short cut and never comes to my office excepting on public business." Chap. XIII, the master said, "Mang Chifan does not boast of his merit." Being in the rear on an occasion of flight when they were about to enter the gate, he whipped up his horse, saying, "It is not that I dare to be last. My horse would not advance." Chap. XIV, the master said, "Without the specious speech of the litanist T.O. and the beauty of the Prince K.O. of Sung, it is difficult to escape in the present age." Chap. XV. The master said, "Who can go out but by the door? How is it that men will not walk according to these ways?" Chap. XVI. The master said, "Where the solid qualities are in excess of accomplishments, we have rusticity. Where the accomplishments are in excess of the solid qualities, we have the manners of a clerk. When the accomplishments and solid qualities are equally blended, we then have the man of virtue." Chap. XVII. The master said, "Man is born for uprightness. If a man lose his uprightness and yet live, his escape from death is the effect of mere good fortune." Chap. XVII. The master said, "They who know the truth are not equal to those who love it, and they who love it are not equal to those who delight in it." Chap. XIX. The master said, "To those whose talents are above mediocrity, the highest subjects may be announced. To those who are below mediocrity, the highest subjects may not be announced." Chap. XX. Fan CHE asked what constituted wisdom. The master said, "To give oneself earnestly to the duties due to men. And while respecting spiritual beings, to keep aloof from them may be called wisdom." He asked about perfect virtue. The master said, "The man of virtue makes the difficulty to be overcome his first business and success only a subsequent consideration. This may be called perfect virtue." Chap. XXI. The master said, "The wise find pleasure in water, the virtuous find pleasure in hills. The wise are active, the virtuous are tranquil. The wise are joyful, the virtuous are long-lived." Chap. XXII. The master said, "CHE by one change would come to the state of Lu. Lu by one change would come to a state where true principles predominated." Chap. XXII. The master said, "A cornered vessel without corners. A strange cornered vessel, a strange cornered vessel." Chap. XXIV. Tsai Wo asked, saying, "A benevolent man. Though it be told him, there is a man in the well, will go in after him, I suppose." Confucius said, "Why should he do so? A superior man may be made to go to the well, but he cannot be made to go down into it. He may be imposed upon, but he cannot be fooled." Chap. XXV. The master said, "The superior man, extensively studying all learning and keeping himself under the restraint of the rules of propriety, may thus likewise not overstep what is right." Chap. XXVI. The master, having visited Nan Tishi, Tishi Lu was displeased, on which the master swore, saying, "Wherein I have done improperly, may heaven reject me, may heaven reject me." Chap. XXVII. The master said, "Perfect is the virtue which is, according to the constant mean, rare for a long time has been its practice among the people." Chap. XXVII. 1. T. Shi Kung said, "Suppose the case of a man extensively conferring benefits on the people and able to assist all. What would you say of him? Might he be called perfectly virtuous?" The master said, "Why speak only of virtue in connection with him? Must he not have the qualities of a sage?" Even Yao and Shun were still solicitous about this. 2. Now the man of perfect virtue, wishing to be established himself, seeks also to establish others. Wishing to be enlarged himself, he seeks also to enlarge others. 3. To be able to judge of others by what is nigh in ourselves. This may be called the art of virtue. Book VII, SHUR Chap. I, the master said, "A transmitter and not a maker, believing in and loving the ancients, I venture to compare myself with our old Piang." Chap, I, the master said, the silent treasuring up of knowledge, learning without satiety and instructing others without being wearied. Which one of these things belongs to me? Chap, I, the master said, the leaving virtue without proper cultivation, the not thoroughly discussing what is learned, not being able to move towards righteousness of which a knowledge is gained, and not being able to change what is not good. These are the things which occasion me solicitude. Chap, IV. When the master was unoccupied with business, his manner was easy and he looked pleased. Chap, V. The master said, extreme is my decay. For a long time I have not dreamed as I was wont to do that I saw the Duke of Chow. Chap, VI. 1. The master said, let the will be set on the path of duty. 2. Let every attainment in what is good be firmly grasped. 3. Let perfect virtue be accorded with. 4. Let relaxation and enjoyment be found in the polite arts. Chap, VII, the master said, from the man bringing his bundle of dried flesh for my teaching upwards, I have never refused instruction to anyone. Chap, VII, the master said, I do not open up the truth to one who is not eager to get knowledge, nor help out anyone who is not anxious to explain himself. When I have presented one corner of a subject to anyone and he cannot from it learn the other three, I do not repeat my lesson. Chap, IX1. When the master was eating by the side of a mourner, he never ate to the full. 2. He did not sing on the same day in which he had been weeping. Chap, X1. The master said to Yen Yuan, when called to office to undertake its duties, when not so called to lie retired, it is only I and you who have attained to this. 2. Ti Shi Lu said, if you had the conduct of the armies of a great state, whom would you have to act with you? 3. The master said, I would not have him to act with me who will unarmed attack a tiger or cross a river without a boat, dying without any regret. My associate must be the man who proceeds to action full of solicitude, who is fond of adjusting his plans and then carries them into execution. Chap, XI. The master said, if the search for riches is sure to be successful, though I should become a groom with whip in hand, to get them I will do so. As the search may not be successful, I will follow after that which I love. Chap, XII. The things in reference to which the master exercised the greatest caution were fasting, war, and sickness. Chap, XII. When the master was in Chi, he heard the Shao, and for 3 months did not know the taste of flesh. I did not think, he said, that music could have been made so excellent as this. Chap, XIV1. Yin Yu said, is our master for the ruler of Y? Ti Shi Kung said, oh, I will ask him. 2. He went in accordingly and said, what sort of men were Po I and Shu Chi? They were ancient worthies, said the master. Did they have any repinings because of their course? The master again replied, they sought to act virtuously and they did so. What was there for them to repine about? On this, Ti Shi Kung went out and said, our master is not for him. Chap, XV. The master said, with coarse rice to eat, with water to drink, and my bended arm for a pillow, I have still joy in the midst of these things. Riches and honors acquired by unrighteousness are to me as a floating cloud. Chap, XVI. The master said, if some years were added to my life, I would give 50 to the study of the Yi, and then I might come to be without great faults. Chap, XVII. The master's frequent themes of discourse were the odes, the history, and the maintenance of the rules of propriety. On all these he frequently discoursed. Chap, XVII. 1. The Duke of She asked Ti Shi Lu about Confucius, and Ti Shi Lu did not answer him. 2. The master said, why did you not say to him, he is simply a man who in his eager pursuit of knowledge forgets his food, who in the joy of its attainment forgets his sorrows, and who does not perceive that old age is coming on? Chap, XIX. The master said, I am not one who was born in the possession of knowledge. I am one who is fond of antiquity and earnest in seeking it there. Chap, XX. The subjects on which the master did not talk were extraordinary things, feats of strength, disorder, and spiritual beings. Chap, XXI. The master said, when I walk along with two others, they may serve me as my teachers. I will select their good qualities and follow them, their bad qualities, and avoid them. Chap, XXII. The master said, heaven produced the virtue that is in me. Huan Tiyui, what can he do to me? Chap, XXII. The master said, do you think, my disciples, that I have any concealments? I conceal nothing from you. There is nothing which I do that is not shown to you, my disciples. That is my way. Chap, XXIV. There were 4 things which the master taught: letters, ethics, devotion of soul, and truthfulness. Chap, XXV1. The master said, a sage it is not mine to see. Could I see a man of real talent and virtue, that would satisfy me. 2. The master said, a good man it is not mine to see. Could I see a man possessed of constancy, that would satisfy me. 3. having not and yet affecting to have, empty and yet affecting to be full, straitened and yet affecting to be at ease. It is difficult with such characteristics to have constancy. Chap. XXVI, the master angled, but did not use a net. He shot, but not at birds perching. Chap. XXVII, the master said, there may be those who act without knowing why. I do not do so, hearing much and selecting what is good and following it, seeing much and keeping it in memory. This is the second style of knowledge. Chap. XXVII, 1. It was difficult to talk profitably and reputably with the people of Huaiqiang and a lad of that place. Having had an interview with the master, the disciples doubted too. The master said, I admit people's approach to me without committing myself as to what they may do when they have retired. Why must one be so severe? If a man purify himself to wait upon me, I receive him so purified without guaranteeing his past conduct. Chap. XXIX. The master said, is virtue a thing remote? I wish to be virtuous, and lo, virtue is at hand. Chap. XXX. 1. The minister of crime of C.A. Chan asked whether the Duke Keo knew propriety, and Confucius said, he knew propriety. 2. Confucius having retired, the minister bowed to Wu Ma C.H.E. to come forward and said, I have heard that the superior man is not a partisan. May the superior man be a partisan also. The prince married a daughter of the house of Wu of the same surname with himself and called her the elder Tishi of Wu. If the prince knew propriety, who does not know it? 3. Wu Ma C.H.E. reported these remarks and the master said, I am fortunate. If I have any errors, people are sure to know them. Chap. XXXI. When the master was in company with a person who was singing, if he sang well, he would make him repeat the song while he accompanied it with his own voice. Chap. XXXII. The master said, in letters I am perhaps equal to other men, but the character of the superior man carrying out in his conduct what he professes is what I have not yet attained to. Chap. XXXII. The master said, the sage and the man of perfect virtue, how dare I rank myself with them? It may simply be said of me that I strive to become such without satiety and teach others without weariness. Kung Hsi Hwa said, this is just what we, the disciples, cannot imitate you in. Chap. XXXIV. The master being very sick, Ti Shi Lu asked leave to pray for him. He said, may such a thing be done? Ti Shi Lu replied, it may. In the eulogies it is said, prayer has been made for thee to the spirits of the upper and lower worlds. The master said, my praying has been for a long time. Chap. XXXV. The master said, extravagance leads to insubordination and parsimony to meanness. It is better to be mean than to be insubordinate. Chap. XXXVI. The master said, the superior man is satisfied and composed, the mean man is always full of distress. Chap. XXXVII. The master was mild and yet dignified, majestic and yet not fierce, respectful and yet easy. Book VII. Ti Po. Chap. I, the master said, Ti Po may be said to have reached the highest point of virtuous action. Thrice he declined the kingdom, and the people in ignorance of his motives could not express their approbation of his conduct. Chap. II. 1. The master said, respectfulness without the rules of propriety becomes laborious bustle. Carefulness without the rules of propriety becomes timidity. Boldness without the rules of propriety becomes insubordination. Straightforwardness without the rules of propriety becomes rudeness too. When those who are in high stations perform well all their duties to their relations, the people are aroused to virtue. When old friends are not neglected by them, the people are preserved from meanness. Chap. II. The philosopher Tsang being ill, he called to him the disciples of his school and said, uncover my feet, uncover my hands. It is said in the book of poetry, we should be apprehensive and cautious as if on the brink of a deep gulf, as if treading on thin ice, and so have I been. Now and hereafter I know my escape from all injury to my person, O ye my little children. Chap. IV. 1. The philosopher Tsang being ill, Meng Chang went to ask how he was, too. Tsang said to him, when a bird is about to die, its notes are mournful. When a man is about to die, his words are good. 3. There are 3 principles of conduct which the man of high rank should consider specially important. That in his deportment and manner he keep from violence and heedlessness, that in regulating his countenance he keep near to sincerity, and that in his words and tones he keep far from lowness and impropriety. As to such matters as attending to the sacrificial vessels, there are the proper officers for them. Chap. V. The philosopher Tsang said, gifted with ability and yet putting questions to those who were not so, possessed of much, and yet putting questions to those possessed of little, having, as though he had not, full and yet counting himself as empty, offended against, and yet entering into no altercation. Formerly I had a friend who pursued this style of conduct. Chap. VI. The philosopher Tsang said, suppose that there is an individual who can be entrusted with the charge of a young orphan prince and can be commissioned with authority over a state of 100 lay and whom no emergency however great can drive from his principles. Is such a man a superior man? He is a superior man indeed. Chap. VII. 1. The philosopher Tsang said, the officer may not be without breadth of mind and vigorous endurance. His burden is heavy and his course is long, too. Perfect virtue is the burden which he considers it is his to sustain. Is it not heavy? Only with death does his course stop. Is it not long? Chap. VII. When the master said, it is by the odes that the mind is aroused, too. It is by the rules of propriety that the character is established, 3. It is from music that the finish is received. Chap. IX. The master said, the people may be made to follow a path of action, but they may not be made to understand it. Chap. X. The master said, the man who is fond of daring and is dissatisfied with poverty will proceed to insubordination. So will the man who is not virtuous when you carry your dislike of him to an extreme. Chap. XI. The master said, though a man have abilities as admirable as those of the Duke of Chow, yet if he be proud and niggardly, those other things are really not worth being looked at. Chap. XII. The master said, it is not easy to find a man who has learned for 3 years without coming to be good. Chap. XIII. 1. The master said, with sincere faith he unites the love of learning, holding firm to death, he is perfecting the excellence of his course, 2. Such an one will not enter a tottering state, nor dwell in a disorganized one. When right principles of government prevail in the kingdom, he will show himself. When they are prostrated, he will keep concealed, 3. When a country is well governed, poverty and a mean condition are things to be ashamed of. When a country is ill governed, riches and honor are things to be ashamed of. Chap. XIV. The master said, he who is not in any particular office has nothing to do with plans for the administration of its duties. Chap. XV. The master said, when the music master Chi first entered on his office, the finish of the Quan Su was magnificent. How it filled the ears. Chap. XVI. The master said, ardent and yet not upright, stupid and yet not attentive, simple and yet not sincere. Such persons I do not understand. Chap. XVII. The master said, learn as if you could not reach your object and were always fearing also lest you should lose it. Chap. XVII. The master said, how majestic was the manner in which Shun and Yu held possession of the empire as if it were nothing to them. Chap. XIX. 1. The master said, great indeed was Yao as a sovereign. How majestic was he? It is only heaven that is grand, and only Yao corresponded to it. How vast was his virtue? The people could find no name for it, too. How majestic was he in the works which he accomplished? How glorious in the elegant regulations which he instituted? Chap. XX1. Shun had 5 ministers, and the empire was well governed, too. King Wu said, I have 10 able ministers. 3. Confucius said, is not the saying that talents are difficult to find true? Only when the dynasties of Tiang and Yu met were they more abundant than in this of Chao, yet there was a woman among them. The able ministers were no more than 9 men, 4. King Wan possessed 2 of the 3 parts of the empire, and with those he served the dynasty of Yin. The virtue of the house of Chao may be said to have reached the highest point, indeed. Chap. XXI. The master said, I can find no flaw in the character of Yu. He used himself coarse food and drink, but displayed the utmost filial piety towards the spirits. His ordinary garments were poor, but he displayed the utmost elegance in his sacrificial cap and apron. He lived in a low mean house, but expended all his strength on the ditches and water channels. I can find nothing like a flaw in you. Book IX. TSE Han Chap. I. The subjects of which the master seldom spoke were profitableness and also the appointments of heaven and perfect virtue. Chap. II. 1. A man of the village of Taoichiang said, great, indeed, is the philosopher Kayung. His learning is extensive, and yet he does not render his name famous by any particular thing. 2. The master heard the observation and said to his disciples, what shall I practice? Shall I practice charioteering, or shall I practice archery? I will practice charioteering. Chap. III. 1. The master said, the linen cap is that prescribed by the rules of ceremony, but now a silk one is worn. It is economical, and I follow the common practice. 2. The rules of ceremony prescribe the bowing below the hall, but now the practice is to bow only after ascending it. That is, arrogant. I continue to bow below the hall, though I oppose the common practice. Chap, IV. There were four things from which the master was entirely free. He had no foregone conclusions, no arbitrary predeterminations, no obstinacy, and no egoism. Chap. V1. The master was put in fear in Kaiwang, 2. He said, after the death of King Wan was not the cause of truth lodged here in me, 3. If heaven had wished to let this cause of truth perish, then I, a future mortal, should not have got such a relation to that cause. While heaven does not let the cause of truth perish, what can the people of Kaiwang do to me? Chap. VI. When a high officer asked Ti Shi Kung, saying, may we not say that your master is a sage? How various is his ability? 2. Ti Shi Kung said, certainly heaven has endowed him. Unlimitedly, he is about a sage, and moreover his ability is various. 3. The master heard of the conversation and said, does the high officer know me? When I was young, my condition was low, and therefore I acquired my ability in many things, but they were mean matters. Must the superior man have such variety of ability? He does not need variety of ability. 4. Lao said, the master said, having no official employment, I acquired many arts. Chap. VII. The master said, am I indeed possessed of knowledge? I am not knowing. But if a mean person who appears quite empty-like ask anything of me, I set it forth from one end to the other and exhaust it. Chap. VII. The master said, the fang bird does not come, the river sends forth no map. It is all over with me. Chap. IX. When the master saw a person in a morning dress, or anyone with the cap and upper and lower garments of full dress, or a blind person, on observing them approaching, though they were younger than himself, he would rise up, and if he had to pass by them, he would do so hastily. Chap. X1. Yen Yuan, in admiration of the master's doctrines, sighed and said, I looked up to them and they seemed to become more high. I tried to penetrate them and they seemed to become more firm. I looked at them before me and suddenly they seemed to be behind. 2. The master, by orderly method, skillfully leads men on. He enlarged my mind with learning and taught me the restraints of propriety. 3. When I wish to give over the study of his doctrines, I cannot do so, and having exerted all my ability, there seems something to stand right up before me, but though I wish to follow and lay hold of it, I really find no way to do so. Chap. XI. The master being very ill, Ti Shi Lu wished the disciples to act as ministers to him. 2. During a remission of his illness, he said, long has the conduct of you been deceitful. By pretending to have ministers when I have them not, whom should I impose upon? Should I impose upon heaven? 3. Moreover, than that I should die in the hands of ministers, is it not better that I should die in the hands of you, my disciples? And though I may not get a great burial, shall I die upon the road? Chap. XII. Ti Shi Kung said, there is a beautiful gem here. Should I lay it up in a case and keep it? Or should I seek for a good price and sell it? Master said, sell it, but I would wait for one to offer the price. Chap. XII. When the master was wishing to go and live among the 9 wild tribes of the East, 2, someone said, they are rude, how can you do such a thing? The master said, if a superior man dwelt among them, what rudeness would there be? Chap. XIV. The master said, I returned from Wei to Lu, and then the music was reformed, and the pieces in the royal songs and praise songs all found their proper places. Chap. XV. The master said, abroad to serve the high ministers and nobles, at home to serve one's father and elder brothers in all duties to the dead, not to dare, not to exert oneself, and not to be overcome of wine. Which one of these things do I attain to? Chap. XVI. The master, standing by a stream, said, it passes on just like this, not ceasing day or night. Chap. XVII. The master said, I have not seen one who loves virtue as he loves beauty. Chap. XVII. The master said, the prosecution of learning may be compared to what may happen in raising a mound. If there want but one basket of earth to complete the work and I stop, the stopping is my own work. It may be compared to throwing down the earth on the level ground. Though but one basketful is thrown at a time, the advancing with it is my own going forward. Chap. XIX. The master said, never flagging when I set forth anything to him. Ah, that is hui. Chap. XX. The master said of Yen Yuan, alas, I saw his constant advance. I never saw him stop in his progress. Chap. XXI. The master said, there are cases in which the blade springs, but the plant does not go on to flower. There are cases where it flowers, but no fruit is subsequently produced. Chap. XXII. The master said, a youth is to be regarded with respect. How do we know that his future will not be equal to our present? If he reach the age of 40 or 50 and has not made himself heard of, then indeed he will not be worth being regarded with respect. Chap. XXV. The master said, can men refuse to assent to the words of strict admonition? but it is reforming the conduct because of them which is valuable. Can men refuse to be pleased with words of gentle advice, but it is unfolding their aim which is valuable? If A, man be pleased with these words but does not unfold their aim, and assents to those but does not reform his conduct, I can really do nothing with him. Chap, XXIV, the master said, hold faithfulness and sincerity as first principles, have no friends not equal to yourself. When you have faults, do not fear to abandon them. Chap, XXV, the master said, the commander of the forces of a large state may be carried off, but the will of even a common man cannot be taken from him. Chap, XXVI. One, the master said, dressed himself in a tattered robe quilted with hemp, yet standing by the side of men dressed in furs and not ashamed. Ah, it is you who is equal to this, too. He dislikes none, he covets nothing. What can he do but what is good? 3. Tishi Lu kept continually repeating these words of the ode when the master said, those things are by no means sufficient to constitute perfect excellence. Chap. XXVII, the master said, when the year becomes cold, then we know how the pine and the cypress are the last to lose their leaves. Chap. XXVII, the master said, the wise are free from perplexities, the virtuous from anxiety, and the bold from fear. Chap. XXIX, the master said, there are some with whom we may study in common, but we shall find them unable to go along with us to principles. Perhaps we may go on with them to principles, but we shall find them unable to get established in those along with us. Or if we may get so established along with them, we shall find them unable to weigh occurring events along with us. Chap. XXX. 1. How the flowers of the aspen plum flutter and turn, do I not think of you, but your house is distant, too. The master said, it is the want of thought about it. How is it distant? Book X Heang Tang, Chap. I 1. Confucius in his village looked simple and sincere, and as if he were not able to speak, too. When he was in the prince's ancestorial temple or in the court, he spoke minutely on every point but cautiously, Chap II. 1. When he was waiting at court in speaking with the great officers of the lower grade, he spake freely but in a straightforward manner in speaking with those of the higher grade, he did so blandly but precisely. 2. When the ruler was present, his manner displayed respectful uneasiness. It was grave but self-possessed. Chap. III 1. When the prince called him to employ him in the reception of a visitor, his countenance appeared to change and his legs to move forward with difficulty. 2. He inclined himself to the other officers among whom he stood, moving his left or right arm as their position required, but keeping the skirts of his robe before and behind evenly adjusted. 3. He hastened forward with his arms like the wings of a bird. 4. When the guest had retired, he would report to the prince, the visitor is not turning round anymore. Chap. IV 1. When he entered the palace gate, he seemed to bend his body as if it were not sufficient to admit him. 2. When he was standing, he did not occupy the middle of the gateway. When he passed in or out, he did not tread upon the threshold. 3. When he was passing the vacant place of the prince, his countenance appeared to change and his legs to bend under him, and his words came as if he hardly had breath to utter them. 4. He ascended the reception hall, holding up his robe with both his hands and his body bent, holding in his breath also, as if he dared not breathe. 5. When he came out from the audience, as soon as he had descended one step, he began to relax his countenance and had a satisfied look. When he had got to the bottom of the steps, he advanced rapidly to his place with his arms like wings and on occupying it, his manner still showed respectful uneasiness. Chap. V1. When he was carrying the scepter of his ruler, he seemed to bend his body as if he were not able to bear its weight. He did not hold it higher than the position of the hands in making a bow, nor lower than their position in giving anything to another. His countenance seemed to change and look apprehensive, and he dragged his feet along as if they were held by something to the ground. 2. In presenting the presents with which he was charged, he wore a placid appearance. 3. At his private audience, he looked highly pleased. Chap. VI. 1. The superior man did not use a deep purple or a puce color in the ornaments of his dress. 2. Even in his undress, he did not wear anything of a red or reddish color. 3. In warm weather, he had a single garment either of coarse or fine texture, but he wore it displayed over an inner garment. 4. Over lamb's fur, he wore a garment of black, over fawn's fur, one of white, and over fox's fur, one of yellow. 5. The fur robe of his undress was long with the right sleeve, short. 6. He required his sleeping dress to be half as long again as his body. 7. When staying at home, he used thick furs of the fox or the badger. 8. When he put off mourning, he wore all the appendages of the girdle. 9. his undergarment except when it was required to be of. The curtain shape was made of silk cut narrow above and wide, below, 10. He did not wear lamb's fur or a black cap on a visit of condolence, 11. On the first day of the month, he put on his court robes and presented himself at court, chap, VII, 1. When fasting, he thought it necessary to have his clothes brightly clean and made of linen cloth, 2. When fasting, he thought it necessary to change his food and also to change the place where he commonly sat in the apartment, chap, VII. When he did not dislike to have his rice finely cleaned, nor to have his minced meat cut quite small, 2. He did not eat rice which had been injured by heat or damp and turned sour, nor fish or flesh which was gone. He did not eat what was discolored or what was of a bad flavor, nor anything which was ill-cooked or was not in season, 3. He did not eat meat which was not cut properly, nor what was served without its proper sauce, 4. Though there might be a large quantity of meat, he would not allow what he took to exceed the due proportion for the rice. It was only in wine that he laid down no limit for himself, but he did not allow himself to be confused by it, 5. He did not partake of wine and dried meat bought in the market, 6. He was never without ginger when he ate, 7. He did not eat much, 8. When he had been assisting at the prince's sacrifice, he did not keep the flesh which he received overnight, the flesh of his family sacrifice he did not keep over 3 days. If kept over 3 days, people could not eat it, 9. When eating, he did not converse. When in bed, he did not speak, 10. Although his food might be coarse rice and vegetable soup, he would offer a little of it in sacrifice with a grave, respectful air, chap, IX. If his mat was not straight, he did not sit on it, chap, X1. When the villagers were drinking together on, those who carried staffs going out, he went out immediately after, 2. When the villagers were going through their ceremonies to drive away pestilential influences, he put on his court robes and stood on the eastern steps, chap, XI1. When he was sending complimentary inquiries to anyone in another state, he bowed twice as he escorted the messenger away, 2. Kai Kiang having sent him a present of physic, he bowed and received it, saying, I do not know it, I dare not taste it, chap, XII. The stable being burned down when he was at court on his return, he said, has any man been hurt? He did not ask about the horses, chap, XII, 1. When the prince sent him a gift of cooked meat, he would adjust his mat, first taste it, and then give it away to others. When the prince sent him a gift of undressed meat, he would have it cooked and offer it to the spirits of his ancestors. When the prince sent him a gift of a living animal, he would keep it alive, 2. When he was in attendance on the prince and joining in the entertainment, the prince only sacrificed. He first tasted everything, 3. When he was ill and the prince came to visit him, he had his head to the east, made his court robes be spread over him, and drew his girdle across them, 4. When the prince's order called him without waiting for his carriage to be yoked, he went at once, chap, XIV. When he entered the ancestral temple of the state, he asked about everything, chap, XV1. When any of his friends died, if he had no relations who could be depended on for the necessary offices, he would say, I will bury him. 2. When a friend sent him a present, though it might be a carriage and horses, he did not bow, 3. The only present for which he bowed was that of the flesh of sacrifice, chap, XVI, 1. In bed, he did not lie like a corpse. At home, he did not put on any formal deportment, 2. When he saw anyone in a mourning dress, though it might be an acquaintance, he would change countenance when he saw anyone wearing the cap of full dress, or a blind person, though he might be in his undress, he would salute them in a ceremonious manner, 3. To any person in mourning, he bowed forward to the crossbar of his carriage. He bowed in the same way to anyone bearing the tables of population. 4. When he was at an entertainment where there was an abundance of provisions set before him, he would change countenance and rise up, 5. On a sudden clap of thunder or a violent wind, he would change countenance, chap, XVII, 1. When he was about to mount his carriage, he would stand straight, holding the cord, 2. When he was in the carriage, he did not turn his head quite round, he did not talk hastily, he did not point with his hands, chap, XVII, 1. Seeing the countenance, it instantly rises, it flies round and by settles, 2. The master said, there is the hen pheasant on the hill, bridge, at its season, Ti Shi Lu made a motion to it, thrice it smelt him and then rose, book XI, HSIENTSIN. Chap, I1, the master said, the men of former times in the matters of ceremonies and music were rustics, it is said, while the men of these latter times in ceremonies and music are accomplished gentlemen too. If I have occasion to use those things, I follow the men of former times. Chap, II1, the master said, of those who were with me in CA Chan and TSI, there are none to be found to enter my door. too, distinguished for their virtuous principles and practice. There were Yen Yuan, Min Tishi Xiechin, Zanpo Niu, and Cheng Kung for their ability in speech, Tsai Wo and Tishi Kung for their adminas, Trative talents, Zan Yu and Kai Lu for their literary acquirements, Tishi Yu and Tishi Hsia Chap. I. The master said, Hui gives me no assistance. There is nothing that I say in which he does not delight. Chap. IV. The master said, Filial indeed is Min Tishi Xiechin. Other people say nothing of him different from the report of his parents and brothers. Chap. Vinan Young was frequently repeating the lines about a white scepter stone. Confucius gave him the daughter of his elder brother to wife. Chap. VI. Kai Kang asked which of the disciples loved to learn. Confucius replied to him, there was Yan Hui he loved to learn. Unfortunately, his appointed time was short and he died. Now there is no one who loves to learn as he did. Chap. VII. 1. When Yan Yuan died, Yan Lu begged the carriage of the master to sell and get an outer shell for his sons. Coffin. 2. The master said, everyone calls his son, whether he has talents or has not talents. There was Li. When he died, he had a coffin but no outer shell. I would not walk on foot to get a shell for him because having followed in the rear of the great officers, it was not proper that I should walk on foot. Chap. VII. When Yan Yuan died, the master said, alas, heaven is destroying me. Heaven is destroying me. Chap. IX1. When Yan Yuan died, the master bewailed him exceedingly, and the disciples who were with him said, Master, your grief is excessive. 2. Is it excessive? Said he. 3. If I am not to mourn bitterly for this man, for whom should I mourn? Chap. X1. When Yan Yuan died, the disciples wished to give him a great funeral, and the master said, you may not do so. 2. The disciples did bury him in great style. 3. The master said, Hui behaved towards me as his father. I have not been able to treat him as my son. The fault is not mine, it belongs to you, O disciples. Chap. XI. Kai Lu asked about serving the spirits of the dead. The master said, while you are not able to serve men, how can you serve their spirits? Kai Lu added, I venture to ask about death. He was answered, while you do not know life, how can you know about death? Chap. XII. 1. The disciple Min was standing by his side, looking bland and precise. Tishi Lu, looking bold and soldierly. Zan Yu and Tishi Kung with a free and straightforward manner. The master was pleased, too. He said, you there. He will not die a natural death. Chap. XII. 1. Some parties in Lu were going to take down and rebuild the long treasury, too. Min Tishi Xiechin said, suppose it were to be repaired after its old style. Why must it be altered and made anew? 3. The master said, this man seldom speaks when he does. He is sure to hit the point. Chap. XIV1. The master said, what has the loot of you to do in my door? 2. The other disciples began not to respect Tishi Lu. The master said, Yu has ascended to the hall, though he has not yet passed into the inner apartments. Chap. XV1. Tishi Kung asked which of the two, Shi or Shang, was the superior. The master said, Shi goes beyond the due, mean, and Shang does not come up to it. 2. Said Tishi Kung, the superiority is with Shi, I suppose. 3. The master said, to go beyond is as wrong as to fall short. Chap. XVI. 1. The head of the Kai family was richer than the Duke of Chao had been, and yet Chu collected his imposts for him and increased his wealth too. The master said, he is no disciple of mine, my little children beat the drum and assail him. Chap. XVII. 1. Chi is simple. 2. Shan is dull. 3. She is specious. 4. Yu is coarse. Chap. XVII. 1. The master said, there is Hui, he has nearly attained to perfect virtue, he is often in want. 2. TSZ does not acquiesce in the appointments of heaven, and his goods are increased by him, yet his judgments are often correct. Chap. XIX. Tishi Chang asked what were the characteristics of the good man. The master said, he does not tread in the footsteps of others, but moreover, he does not enter the chamber of the sage. Chap. XX. The master said, if, because a man's discourse appears solid and sincere, we allow him to be a good man, is he really a superior man, or is his gravity only an appearance? Chap. XXI. Tishi Lu asked whether he should immediately carry into practice what he heard. The master said, there are your father and elder brothers to be consulted. Why should you act on that principle of immediately carrying into practice what you hear? Zan Yu asked the same, whether he should immediately carry into practice what he heard, and the master answered, immediately carry into practice what you hear. Kung Hsi Hwa said, you asked whether he should carry immediately into practice what he heard, and you said, there are your father and elder brothers to be consulted. Chu asked whether he should immediately carry into practice what he heard, and you said, carry it immediately into practice. I, Chi, am perplexed and venture to ask you for an explanation. The master said, CHU is retiring and slow, therefore, I urged him forward. Yu has more than his own share of energy, therefore I kept him back. Chap, XXII, the master was put in fear in Kaiwang and Yen, Yuan fell behind. The master, on his rejoining him, said, I thought you had died. Hui replied, while you were alive, how should I presume to die? Chap, XXII, one Kai Tishi Zan asked whether Cheng Yu and Zan, CHU could be called great ministers, too. The master said, I thought you would ask about some extraordinary individuals and you only ask about Yu and CHU 3. What is called a great minister is one who serves his prince according to what is right, and when he finds he cannot do so, retires. 4. Now as to Yu and CHU, they may be called ordinary ministers. 5. Tishi Zan said, then they will always follow their chief, will they? 6. The master said, in an act of parricide or regicide, they would not follow him. Chap. XXIV. 1. Tishi Lu got Tishi Kao appointed governor of Pai. 2. The master said, you are injuring a man's son. 3. Tishi Lu said, there are their common people and officers, there are the altars of the spirits of the land and grain, why must one read books before he can be considered to have learned? 4. The master said, it is on this account that I hate your glib-tongued people. Chap. XXV1. Tishi Lu, Tsang HSI, Zan Yu, and Kung HSI HWA were sitting by the master, too. He said to them, though I am a day or so older than you, do not think of that. 3. From day to day you are saying, we are not known. If some ruler were to know you, what would you like to do? 4. Tishi Lu hastily and lightly replied, suppose the case of A, state of 10,000 chariots, let it be straightened between other, large states, let it be suffering from invading armies, and to this let there be added a famine in corn and in all vegetables. If I were entrusted with the government of it, in 3 years' time I could make the people to be bold and to recognize the rules of righteous conduct. The master smiled at him. 5. Turning to Yen Yu, he said, CHU, what are your wishes? CHU replied, suppose a state of 60 or 70 li square, or one of 50 or 60, and let me have the government of it. In 3 years' time, I could make plenty to abound among the people. As to teaching them the principles of propriety and music, I must wait for the rise of a superior man to do that. 6. What are your wishes, CHE? Said the master next to Kung, HSI HWA. CHE replied, I do not say that my ability extends to these things, but I should wish to learn them at the services of the ancestral temple and at the audiences of the princes with the sovereign. I should like, dressed in the dark square-made robe and the black linen cap, to act as a small assistant. 7. Last of all, the master asked Sang HSI, Tyne, what are your wishes? Tyne, pausing as he was playing on his lute while it was yet twanging, laid the instrument aside and rose. My wishes, he said, are different from the cherished purposes of these three gentlemen. What harm is there in that? Said the master. Do you, also as well as they, speak out your wishes. Tyne then said, in this, the last month of spring, with the dress of the season all complete, along with 5 or 6 young men who have assumed the cap, and 6 or 7 boys I would wash in the eye, enjoy the breeze among, the rain alters, and return home singing. The master heaved a sigh and said, I give my approval to Tyne. 8. The three others having gone out, Tsang HSI remained behind and said, what do you think of the words of these three friends? The master replied, they simply told each one his wishes. 9. HSI pursued, master, why did you smile at you? 10. He was answered, the management of a state demands the rules of propriety. His words were not humble, therefore I smiled at him. 11. HSI again said, but was it not a state which CHU proposed for himself? The reply was, yes, did you ever see a territory of 60 or 70 li or one of 50 or 60 which was not a state? 12. Once more, HSI inquired, and was it not a state which CHE proposed for himself? The master again replied, yes, who but princes have to do with ancestral temples and with audiences but the sovereign? If CHE were to be a small assistant in these services, who could be a great one? Book XII, Yen Yuan Chap. I won. Yen Yuan asked about perfect virtue. The master said, to subdue one's self and return to propriety is perfect virtue. If a man can for one day subdue himself and return to propriety, all under heaven will ascribe perfect virtue to him. Is the practice of perfect virtue from a man himself, or is it from others? 2. Yen Yuan said, I beg to ask the steps of that process. The master replied, look not at what is contrary to propriety, listen not to what is contrary to propriety, speak not what is contrary to propriety, make no movement which is contrary to propriety. Yen Yuan then said, though I am deficient in intelligence and vigor, I will make it my business to practice this lesson. Chap, I. Cheng Kung asked about perfect virtue. The master said, "It is when you go abroad to behave to everyone as if you were receiving a great guest, to employ the people as if you were assisting at a great sacrifice, not to do to others as you would not wish done to yourself, to have no murmuring against you in the country and none in the family." Cheng Kung said, "Though I am deficient in intelligence and vigor, I will make it my business to practice this lesson." Chap, I. Wen Shiman Yu asked about perfect virtue too. The master said, "The man of perfect virtue is cautious and slow in his speech." 3. Cautious and slow in his speech, said Niu. Is this what is meant by perfect virtue? The master said, when a man feels the difficulty of doing, can he be other than cautious and slow in speaking? Chap, IV Wen Shiman Niu asked about the superior man. The master said, the superior man has neither anxiety nor fear. 2. Being without anxiety or fear, said Nui. Does this constitute what we call the superior man? 3. The master said, when internal examination discovers nothing wrong, what is there to be anxious about? What is there to fear? Chap, V1. Shiman Yu, full of anxiety, said, other men all have their brothers, I only have not. 2. Tishiacha said to him, there is the following saying which I have heard. 3. Death and life have their determined appointment, riches and honors depend upon heaven. 4. Let the superior man never fail reverentially to order his own conduct, and let him be respectful to others and observant of propriety. Then all within the four seas will be his brothers. What has the superior man to do with being distressed because he has no brothers? Chap. VI. Tishi Chang asked what constituted intelligence. The master said, he with whom neither slander that gradually soaks into the mind, nor statements that startle like a wound in the flesh, are successful may be called intelligent indeed. Yea, he with whom neither soaking slander nor startling statements are successful may be called farseeing. Chap. VII. 1. Ti Shi Kung asked about government. The master said, the requisites of government are that there be sufficiency of food, sufficiency of military equipment, and the confidence of the people in their ruler. 2. Ti Shi Kung said, if it cannot be helped and one of these must be dispensed with, which of the three should be foregone first? The military equipment, said the master. 3. Ti Shi Kung again asked, if it cannot be helped and one of the remaining two must be dispensed with, which of them should be foregone? The master answered, part with the food. From of old, death has been the lot of all men, but if the people have no faith in their rulers, there is no standing for the state. Chap. VII. 1. Kai Ti Shi Ca Cheng said, in a superior man it is only the substantial qualities which are wanted. Why should we seek for ornamental accomplishments? 2. Ti Shi Kung said, alas, your words, sir, show you to be a superior man, but four horses cannot overtake the tongue. 3. Ornament is as substance. Substance is as ornament. The hide of a tiger or a leopard stripped of its hair is like the hide of a dog or a goat stripped of its hair. Chap. IX1 The Duke AI inquired of Yu Zhou, saying, the year is one of scarcity and the returns for expenditure are not sufficient. What is to be done? 2. Yu Zhou replied to him, why not simply tithe the people? 3. With 2/10, said the Duke, I find it not enough. How could I do with that system of 1/10? 4. Yu Zhou answered, if the people have plenty, their prince will not be left to want alone. If the people are in want, their prince cannot enjoy plenty alone. Chap. X1. Ti Shi Chang having asked how virtue was to be exalted and delusions to be discovered, the master said, hold faithfulness and sincerity as first principles and be moving continually to what is right. This is the way to exalt one's virtue, too. You love a man and wish him to live, you hate him and wish him to die. Having wished him to live, you also wish him to die. This is a case of delusion. 3. It may not be on account of her being rich, yet you come to make a difference. Chap, XI1 The Duke Qing of CHE asked Confucius about government too. Confucius replied, there is government when the prince is prince and the minister is minister, when the father is father and the son is son. 3. Good, said the Duke, if indeed the prince be not prince, the minister not minister, the father not father, and the son not son, although I have my revenue, can I enjoy it? Chap. XII. 1. The master said, ah, it is you who could with half a word settle litigations. 2. Ti Shi Lu never slept over a promise. Chap. XII. The master said, in hearing litigations, I am like any other body. What is necessary, however, is to cause the people to have no litigations. Chap. XIV. Ti Shi Chang asked about government. The master said, the art of governing is to keep its affairs before the mind, without weariness, and to practice them with undeviating consistency. Chap. XV. the master said, by extensively studying all learning and keeping himself under the restraint of the rules of propriety, one may thus likewise not err from what is right. Chap. XVI. The master said, the superior man seeks to perfect the admirable qualities of men and does not seek to perfect their bad qualities. The mean man does the opposite of this. Chap. XVII. Kai Kiang asked Confucius about government. Confucius replied, to govern means to rectify. If you lead on the people with correctness, who will dare not to be correct? Chap. XVII. Kai Kiang, distressed about the number of thieves in the state, inquired of Confucius how to do away with them. Confucius said, if you, sir, were not covetous, although you should reward them to do it, they would not steal. Chap. XIX. Kai Kiang asked Confucius about government, saying, what do you say to killing the unprincipled for the good of the principled? Confucius replied, sir, in carrying on your government, why should you use killing at all? Let your evinced desires be for what is good, and the people will be good. The relation between superiors and inferiors is like that between the wind and the grass. The grass must bend when the wind blows across it. Chap. XX1. Tishi Chang asked, what must the officer be who may be said to be distinguished? 2. The master said, what is it you call being distinguished? 3. Tishi Chang replied, it is to be heard of through the state, to be heard of throughout his clan. 4. The master said, that is notoriety, not distinction. 5. Now the man of distinction is solid and straightforward and loves righteousness. He examines people's words and looks at their countenances. He is anxious to humble himself to others. Such. A man will be distinguished in the country. He will be distinguished in his clan. 6. As to the man of notoriety, he assumes the appearance of virtue, but his actions are opposed to it, and he rests in this character without any doubts about himself. Such a man will be heard of in the country. He will be heard of in the clan. Chap. XXI. One fan CHE rambling with the master under the trees about the rain altars said, I venture to ask how to exalt virtue to correct cherished evil and to discover delusions. 2. The master said, truly a good question. 3. If doing what is to be done be made the first business and success a secondary consideration, is not this the way to exalt virtue, to assail one's own wickedness and not assail that of others? Is not this the way to correct cherished evil? For a morning's anger to disregard one's own life and involve that of his parents, is not this a case of delusion? Chap. XXII1. Fan CHE asked about benevolence. The master said, it is to love all men. He asked about knowledge. The master said, it is to know all men. 2. Fan CHE did not immediately understand these answers. 3. The master said, employ the upright and put aside all the crooked. In this way, the crooked can be made to be upright. 4. Fan CHE retired, and seeing Tishi Echa, he said to him, a little while ago, I had an interview with our master and asked him about knowledge. He said, employ the upright and put aside all the crooked. In this way, the crooked will be made to be upright. What did he mean? 5. Tishi Echa said, truly rich is his saying. 6. Shun, being in possession of the kingdom, selected from among all the people and employed Kaoyao, on which all who were devoid of virtue disappeared. Tiang, being in possession of the kingdom, selected from among all the people and employed Ai Yin, and all who were devoid of virtue disappeared. Chap. XXII. Tishi Kung asked about friendship. The master said, faithfully admonish your friend and skillfully lead him on. If you find him impracticable, stop, do not disgrace yourself. Chap. XXIV. The philosopher Tsang said, the superior man on grounds of culture meets with his friends, and by their friendship helps his virtue. Book XII. TSZELU Chap. I1. Tishi Lu asked about government. The master said, go before the people with your example and be laborious in their affairs. 2. He requested further instruction and was answered, be not weary in these things. Chap. II1. Cheng Kung, being chief minister to the head of the Kai family, asked about government. The master said, employ first the services of your various officers, pardon small faults, and raise to office men of virtue and talents. 2. Cheng Kung said, how shall I know the men of virtue and talent so that I may raise them to office? He was answered, raise to office those whom you know. As to those whom you do not know, will others neglect them? Chap. III1. Tishi Lu said, the ruler of Wei has been waiting for you in order with you to administer the government. What will you consider the first thing to be done? 2. The master replied, what is necessary is to rectify names. 3. So indeed, said Tishi Lu, you are wide of the mark. Why must there be such rectification? 4. The master said, how uncultivated you are, you, a superior man, in regard to what he does not know, shows a cautious reserve. 5. If names be not correct, language is not in accordance with the truth of things. If language be not in accordance with the truth of things, affairs cannot be carried on to success. 6. When affairs cannot be carried on to success, proprieties and music will not flourish. When proprieties and music do not flourish, punishments will not be properly awarded. When punishments are not properly awarded, the people do not know how to move hand or foot. 7. Therefore, a superior man considers it necessary that the names he uses may be spoken appropriately, and also that what he speaks may be carried out appropriately. What the superior man requires is just that in his words there may be nothing incorrect. Chap. IV 1. Fan CHE requested to be taught husbandry. The master said, I am not so good for that as an old husbandman. He requested also to be taught gardening, and was answered, I am not so good for that as an old gardener. 2. Fan CHE having gone out, the master said, a small man, indeed, is Fan HSU 3. If a superior love propriety, the people will not dare not to be reverent. If he love righteousness, the people will not dare not to submit to his example. If he love good faith, the people will not dare not to be sincere. Now, when these things obtain, the people from all quarters will come to him, bearing their children on their backs. What need has he of a knowledge of husbandry? Chap. V. The master said, though a man may be able to recite the 300 odes, yet if when entrusted with a governmental charge, he knows not how to act, or if when sent to any quarter on a mission, he cannot give his replies unassisted, notwithstanding the extent of his learning, of what practical use is it? Chap. V.I. The master said, when a prince's personal conduct is correct, his government is effective without the issuing of orders. If his personal conduct is not correct, he may issue orders, but they will not be followed. Chap. V.I.I. The master said, the governments of Lu and Wai are brothers. Chap. V.I.I. The master said of Qing, a scion of the ducal family of Wei, that he knew the economy of a family well. When he began to have means, he said, ha, here is a collection. When they were a little increased, he said, ha, this is complete. When he had become rich, he said, ha, this is admirable. Chap. IX 1. When the master went away, Zan Yu acted as driver of his carriage. 2. The master observed, how numerous are the people. 3. Yu said, since they are thus numerous, what more shall be done for them? Enrich them, was the reply. 4. And when they have been enriched, what more shall be done? The master said, teach them. Chap. X. The master said, if there were any of the princes who would employ me in the course of 12 months, I should have done something considerable. In 3 years, the government would be perfected. Chap. XI. The master said, if good men were to govern a country in succession for 100 years, they would be able to transform the violently bad and dispense with capital punishments. True indeed is this saying. Chap. XII. The master said, if a truly royal ruler were to arise, it would still require a generation, and then virtue would prevail. Chap. XIII. The master said, if a minister make his own conduct correct, what difficulty will he have in assisting in government? If he cannot rectify himself, what has he to do with rectifying others? Chap. XIV. The disciple Zan returning from the court, the master said to him, how are you so late? He replied, we had government business. The master said, it must have been family affairs. If there had been government business, though I am not now in office, I should have been consulted about it. Chap. XV 1. The Duke Ting asked whether there was a single sentence which could make a country prosperous. Confucius replied, such an effect cannot be expected from one sentence. 2. There is a saying, however, which people have, to be a prince is difficult, to be a minister is not easy. 3. If a ruler knows this, the difficulty of being a prince, may there not be expected from this one sentence the prosperity of his country? 4. The Duke then said, is there a single sentence which can ruin a country? Confucius replied, such an effect as that cannot be expected from one sentence. There is, however, the saying which people have, I have no pleasure in being a prince, but only in that no one can offer any opposition to what I say. 5. If a ruler's words be good, is it not also good that no one oppose them? But if they are not good and no one opposes them, may there not be expected from this one sentence the ruin of his country? Chap. XVI. 1. The Duke of Shea asked about government. 2. The master said, good government obtains when those who are near are made happy and those who are far off are attracted. Chap. XVII. Tishiacha, being governor of Chufu, asked about government. The master said, do not be desirous to have things done quickly. Do not look at small advantages. Desire to have things done quickly prevents their being done thoroughly. Looking at small advantages prevents great affairs from being accomplished. Chap. XVII. one the Duke of Shea informed Confucius, saying, "Among us here there are those who may be styled upright in their conduct. If their father have stolen a sheep, they will bear witness to the fact." 2. Confucius said, "Among us in our part of the country, those who are upright are different from this. The father conceals the misconduct of the son, and the son conceals the misconduct of the father. Uprightness is to be found in this." Chap. XIX. Fan Che asked about perfect virtue. The master said, "It is in retirement to be sedately grave, in the management of business to be reverently attentive, in intercourse with others to be strictly sincere. Though a man go among rude, uncultivated tribes, these qualities may not be neglected." Chap. XX1. Ti Shi Kung asked, saying, "What qualities must a man possess to entitle him to be called an officer?" The master said, "He who in his conduct of himself maintains a sense of shame and, when sent to any quarter, will not disgrace his prince's commission, deserves to be called an officer." 3. Ti Shi Kung pursued, "I venture to ask who may be placed in the next lower rank?" And he was told, "He whom the circle of his relatives pronounce to be filial, whom his fellow villagers and neighbors pronounce to be fraternal." 3. Again the disciple asked, "I venture to ask about the class still next in order." The master said, "They are determined to be sincere in what they say and to carry out what they do. They are obstinate little men, yet perhaps they may make the next class." 4. Ti Shi Kung finally inquired, "Of what sort are those of the present day who engage in government?" The master said, "Pooh, they are so many pecks and hampers, not worth being taken into account." Chap. XXI. The master said, "Since I cannot get men pursuing the due medium to whom I might communicate my instructions, I must find the ardent and the cautiously decided. The ardent will advance and lay hold of truth. The cautiously decided will keep themselves from what is wrong." Chap. XXII1. The master said, "The people of the South have a saying, a man without constancy cannot be either a wizard or a doctor. Good too. Inconstant in his virtue, he will be visited with disgrace." 3. The master said, "This arises simply from not attending to the prognostication." Chap. XXII. The master said, "The superior man is affable, but not adulatory. The mean man is adulatory, but not affable." Chap. XXIV. Ti Shi Kung asked, saying, "What do you say of a man who is loved by all the people of his neighborhood?" The master replied, "We may not for that accord our approval of him." "And what do you say of him who is hated by all the people of his neighborhood?" The master said, "We may not for that conclude that he is bad. It is better than either of these cases that the good in the neighborhood love him and the bad hate him." Chap. XXV. The master said, "The superior man is easy to serve and difficult to please. If you try to please him in any way, which is not accordant with right, he will not be pleased. But in his employment of men, he uses them according to their capacity. The mean man is difficult to serve and easy to please. If you try to please him, though it be in a way which is not accordant with right, he may be pleased, but in his employment of men, he wishes them to be equal to everything." Chap. XXVI. The master said, "The superior man has a dignified ease without pride. The mean man has pride without a dignified ease." Chap. XXVII. The master said, "The firm, the enduring, the simple, and the modest are near to virtue." Chap. XXVII. Ti Shi Lu asked, saying, "What qualities must a man possess to entitle him to be called a scholar?" The master said, "He must be thus, earnest, urgent, and bland. Among his friends, earnest and urgent, among his brethren, bland." Chap. XXIX. The master said, "Let a good man teach the people 7 years, and they may then likewise be employed in war." Chap. XXX. The master said, "To lead an uninstructed people to war is to throw them away." Book XIV. HSIEN WAN. Chap. IH SEEN asked what was shameful. The master said, "When good government prevails in a state, to be thinking only of salary, and when bad government prevails, to be thinking in the same way only of salary, this is shameful." Chap. II 1. When the love of superiority, boasting, resentments, and covetousness are repressed, this may be deemed perfect virtue. 2. The master said, "This may be regarded as the achievement of what is difficult, but I do not know that it is to be deemed perfect virtue." Chap. III. The master said, "The scholar who cherishes the love of comfort is not fit to be deemed a scholar." Chap. IV. The master said, "When good government prevails, in a state, language may be lofty and bold, and actions the same. When bad government prevails, the actions may be lofty and bold, but the language may be with some reserve." Chap. V. The master said, "The virtuous will be sure to speak correctly, but those whose speech is good may not always be virtuous." Men of principle are sure to be bold, but those who are bold may not always be men of principle. Chap Vi, Nan Kung Kuo, submitting an inquiry to Confucius, said, I was skillful at archery and Ao could move a boat along upon the land, but neither of them died a natural death. Yu and Kai personally wrought at the toils of husbandry and they became possessors of the kingdom. The master made no reply, but when Nan Kung Kuo went out, he said, a superior man indeed is this, and esteemer of virtue indeed is this. Chap, Vii, the master said, superior men and yet not. Always virtuous there have been, alas, but there never has been a mean man and at the same time virtuous. Chap, Vii, the master said, can there be love which does not lead to strictness with its object? Can there be loyalty which does not lead to the instruction of its object? Chap, IX, the master said, in preparing the governmental notifications, P. Shan first made the rough draft, Shi Shu examined and discussed its contents, T. Shi Yu, the manager of foreign intercourse, then polished the style, and finally T. Shi C. A. Chan of Tung Lai gave it the proper elegance and finish. Chap, X1, someone asked about T. Shi C. A. Chan, the master said, he was a kind man. 2, he asked about T. Shi H. S. I. The master said, that man, 3, he asked about Quan Cheng. For him, said the master, the city of Pin with 300 families was taken from the chief of the Po family, who did not utter a murmuring word, though to the end of his life he had only coarse rice to eat. Chap, XI, the master said, to be poor without murmuring is difficult, to be rich without being proud is easy. Chap, XII, the master said, Mang Kung Si Cho is more than fit to be chief officer in the families of Kao and Wei, but he is not fit to be great officer to either of the states Tang or HC. Chap, XIII, 1, T. Shi Lu asked what constituted a complete man. The master said, suppose a man with the knowledge of Tsang Wucheng, the freedom from covetousness of Kung Si Cho, the bravery of Xie Chuang of Pin, and the varied talents of Zan Si Chiu. Add to these the accomplishments of the rules of propriety and music. Such a one might be reckoned a complete man. 2. He then added, but what is the necessity for a complete man of the present day to have all these things? The man who in the view of gain thinks of righteousness, who in the view of danger is prepared to give up his life, and who does not forget an old agreement, however far back it extends. Such a man may be reckoned a complete man. Chap, XIV1, the master asked Kung Ming Chia about Kung Shu Wan, saying, is it true that your master speaks not, laughs not, and takes not? 2. Kung Ming Chia replied, this has arisen from the reporters, going beyond the truth. My master speaks when it is the time to speak, and so men do not get tired of his speaking. He laughs when there is occasion to be joyful, and so men do not get tired of his laughing. He takes when it is consistent with righteousness to do so, and so men do not get tired of his taking. The master said, so, but is it so with him? Chap, XV. The master said, Tsang Wucheng, keeping possession of Fang, asked of the Duke of Lu to appoint a successor to him and his family, although it may be said that he was not using force with his sovereign, I believe he was. Chap, XVI. The master said, the Duke Wan of Tsin was crafty and not upright. The Duke Huan of Chi was upright and not crafty. Chap, XVII, 1, T. Shi Lu said, the Duke Huan caused his brother Chiu to be killed when Shao Hu died with his master, but Quan Cheng did not die. May not I say that he was wanting in virtue? 2, the master said, the Duke Huan assembled all the princes together, and that not with weapons of war and chariots. It was all through the influence of Quan Cheng, whose beneficence was like his, whose beneficence was like his. Chap, XVII, 1, T. Shi Kung said, Quan Cheng, I apprehend, was wanting in virtue. When the Duke Huan caused his brother Chiu to be killed, Quan Cheng was not able to die with him. Moreover, he became prime minister to Huan. 2, the master said, Quan Cheng acted as prime minister to the Duke Huan, made him leader of all the princes, and united and rectified the whole kingdom. Down to the present day, the people enjoy the gifts which he conferred. But for Quan Cheng, we should now be wearing our hair unbound and the lappets of our coats, buttoning on the left side. 3. Will you require from him the small fidelity of common men and common women who would commit suicide in a stream or ditch, no one knowing anything about them? Chap. XIX1, the great officer, H. Xin, who had been family minister to Kung Shu Wan, ascended to the prince's court in company with Wan too. The master, having heard of it, said, he deserved to be considered Wan the accomplished. Chap, XX1. The master was speaking about the unprincipled course of the Duke Ling of Wei when Chi Kang said, since he is of such a character, how is it he does not lose his state? 2. Confucius said, The Chengshu Yu has the superintendence of his guests and of strangers. The Litanist Tio has the management of his ancestral temple. And Wang Sun Chia has the direction of the army and forces. With such officers as these, how should he lose his state? Chap, XXI, the master said, he who speaks without modesty will find it difficult to make his words good. Chap, XXII1, Chan Xie Cheng murdered the Duke Qin of CHE2. Confucius bathed, went to court, and informed the Duke AI, saying, Chan Hang has slain his sovereign. I beg that you will undertake to punish him. 3. The Duke said, inform the chiefs of the three families of it. 4. Confucius retired and said, following in the rear of the great officers, I did not dare not to represent such a matter, and my prince says, inform the chiefs of the three families of it. 5. He went to the chiefs and informed them, but they would not act. Confucius then said, following in the rear of the great officers, I did not dare not to represent such a matter. Chap. XXII, T. Shi Lu asked how a ruler should be served. The master said, do not impose on him and moreover withstand him to his face. Chap. XXIV, the master said, the progress of the superior man is upwards, the progress of the mean man is downwards. Chap. XXV, the master said, in ancient times men learned with a view to their own improvement. Nowadays, men learn with a view to the approbation of others. Chap. XXVI. One Chu Po Yu sent a messenger with friendly inquiries to Confucius. 2. Confucius sat with him and questioned him. What, said he, is your master engaged in? The messenger replied, my master is anxious to make his faults few, but he has not yet succeeded. He then went out and the master said, a messenger indeed, a messenger indeed. Chap. XXVII, the master said, he who is not in any particular office has nothing to do with plans for the administration of its duties. Chap. XXVII, the philosopher Tsang said, the superior man in his thoughts does not go out of his place. Chap. XXIX, the master said, the superior man is modest in his speech but exceeds in his actions. Chap. XXX, 1, the master said, the way of the superior man is threefold but I am not equal to it. Virtuous, he is free from anxieties. Wise, he is free from perplexities. Bold, he is free from fear. 2. T. Shi Kung said, master, that is what you yourself say. Chap. XXXI. T. Shi Kung was in the habit of comparing men together. The master said, T. Shi must have reached a high pitch of excellence. Now, I have not leisure for this. Chap. XXXII. The master said, I will not be concerned at men's not knowing me. I will be concerned at my own want of ability. Chap. XXXII, the master said, he who does not anticipate, attempts to deceive him, nor think beforehand of his not being believed and yet apprehends these things readily when they occur, is he not a man of superior worth? Chap. XXXIV, 1, Wei Shengmao said to Confucius, CHU, how is it that you keep roosting about? Is it not that you are an insinuating talker? 2. Confucius said, I do not dare to play the part of such a talker, but I hate obstinacy. Chap. XXXV, the master said, a horse is called a CHE not because of its strength, but because of its other good qualities. Chap. XXXVI. 1. Someone said, what do you say concerning the principle that injury should be recompensed with kindness? 2. The master said, with what then will you recompense kindness? 3. Recompense injury with justice and recompense kindness with kindness. Chap. XXXVII. 1. The master said, alas, there is no one that knows me. 2. T. Shi Kung said, what do you mean by thus saying that no one knows you? The master replied, I do not murmur against heaven. I do not grumble against men. My studies lie low and my penetration rises high. But there is heaven that knows me. Chap. XXXVII. 1. The Kung Po Liao, having slandered T. Shi Lu, Tu Kai Sun, T. Shi Fu Ching Po informed Confucius of it, saying, our master is certainly being led astray by the Kung Po Liao, but I have still power enough left to cut Liao off and expose his corpse in the market and in the court. 2. The master said, if my principles are to advance, it is so ordered. If they are to fall to the ground, it is so ordered. What can the Kung Po Liao do where such ordering is concerned? Chap. XXXIX. 1. The master said, some men of worth retire from the world. 2. Some retire from particular states. 3. Some retire because of disrespectful looks. 4. Some retire because of contradictory language. Chap. XL. The master said, those who have done this are 7 men. Chap. XLI. T. Shi Lu happening to pass the night in Shiman. The gatekeeper said to him, whom do you come from? T. Shi Lu said, from Mr. Kayung. It is he, is it not? Said the other, who knows the impracticable nature of the times and yet will be doing in them. Chap. XLII. one the master was playing one day on a musical, Stone and Way, when a man carrying a straw basket passed the door of the house where Confucius was and said, "His heart is full, whoso beats the musical stone." 2. A little while after, he added, "How contemptible is the one-idead obstinacy those sounds display. When one is taken notice of, he has simply at once to give over his wish for public employment. Deep water must be crossed with the clothes on, shallow water may be crossed with the clothes held up." 3. The master said, "How determined is he in his purpose, but this is not difficult." Chap. XLII. 1. Tishi Chang said, "What is meant when the shoe?" Says that Cao Tsung, while observing the usual imperial mourning, was for 3 years without speaking. 2. The master said, "Why must Cao Tsung be referred to as an example of this? The ancients all did so. When the sovereign died, the officers all attended to their several duties, taking instructions from the prime minister for 3 years." Chap. XLIV. The master said, "When rulers love to observe the rules of propriety, the people respond readily to the calls on them for service." Chap. XLV. Tishi Lu asked what constituted the superior man. The master said, "The cultivation of himself in reverential carefulness." "And is this all?" said Tishi Lu. "He cultivates himself so as to give rest to others," was the reply. "And is this all?" again asked Tishi Lu. The master said, "He cultivates himself so as to give rest to all the people. He cultivates himself so as to give rest to all the people." Even Yao and Shun were still solicitous about this. Chap. XLVI. Yuan Zhang was squatting on his heels, and so waited the approach of the master, who said to him, "In youth, not humble as befits a junior, in manhood doing nothing worthy of being handed down and living on to old age, this is to be a pest." With this, he hit him on the shank with his staff. Chap. XLVI. 1. A youth of the village of CHU was employed by Confucius to carry the messages between him and his visitors. Someone asked about him, saying, "I suppose he has made great progress." 2. The master said, "I observe that he is fond of occupying the seat of a full-grown man. I observe that he walks shoulder to shoulder with his elders. He is not one who is seeking to make progress in learning. He wishes quickly to become a man." Book XV. Wei Ling Kung, Chap. I1. The Duke Ling of Wei asked Confucius about tactics. Confucius replied, "I have heard all about sacrificial vessels, but I have not learned military matters." On this, he took his departure the next day too. When he was in Chan, their provisions were exhausted, and his followers became so ill that they were unable to rise. 3. Tishi Lu, with evident dissatisfaction, said, "Has the superior man likewise to endure in this way?" The master said, "The superior man may indeed have to endure want, but the mean man, when he is in want, gives way to unbridled license." Chap. II. 1. The master said, "TSC, you think, I suppose, that I am one who learns many things and keeps them in memory." 2. Tishi Kung replied, "Yes, but perhaps it is not so." 3. "No," was the answer. "I seek a unity all-pervading." Chap. II. The master said, "You, those who know virtue, are few." Chap. IV. The master said, "May not Shun be instanced as having governed efficiently without exertion? What did he do?" "He did nothing but gravely and reverently occupy his royal seat." Chap. V1. Tishi Chang asked how a man should conduct himself so as to be everywhere appreciated. 2. The master said, "Let his words be sincere and truthful, and his actions honorable and careful. Such conduct may be practiced among the rude tribes of the south or the north. If his words be not sincere and truthful and his actions not honorable and careful, will he with such conduct be appreciated even in his neighborhood?" 3. When he is standing, let him see those two things as it were fronting him. When he is in a carriage, let him see them attached to the yoke. Then may he subsequently carry them into practice. 4. Tishi Chang wrote these counsels on the end of his sash. Chap. VI. 1. The master said, "Truly straightforward was the historiographer Yu. When good government prevailed in his state, he was like an arrow. When bad government prevailed, he was like an arrow too. A superior man indeed is Chu Po Yu. When good government prevails in his state, he is to be found in office. When bad government prevails, he can roll his principles up and keep in his breast." Chap. VII. The master said, "When a man may be spoken with, not to speak to him is to err in reference to the man. When a man may not be spoken with, to speak to him is to err in reference to our words. The wise err neither in regard to their man nor to their words." Chap. VII. The master said, "The determined scholar and the man of virtue will not seek to live at the expense of injuring their virtue. They will even sacrifice their lives to preserve their virtue complete." Chap. IX. Tishi Kung asked about the practice of virtue. The master said, The mechanic who wishes to do his work well must first sharpen his tools. When you are living in any state, take service with the most worthy among its great officers and make friends of the most virtuous among its scholars. Chap. X1. Yen Yuan asked how the government of a country should be administered too. The master said, follow the seasons of Aisha, 3. Ride in the state carriage of Yin, 4. Wear the ceremonial cap of Chao, 5. Let the music be the Shao with its pantomimes, 6. Banish the songs of Chang and keep far from specious talkers. The songs of Chang are licentious, specious talkers are dangerous. Chap. XI. The master said, if a man take no thought about what is distant, he will find sorrow near at hand. Chap. XII. The master said, it is all over, I have not seen one who loves virtue as he loves beauty. Chap. XII. The master said, was not Sang Wan like one who had stolen his situation? He knew the virtue and the talents of Hui of Li Weicha and yet did not procure that he should stand with him in court. Chap. XIV. The master said, he who requires much from himself and little from others will keep himself from being the object of resentment. Chap. XV. The master said, when a man is not in the habit of saying, what shall I think of this? What shall I think of this? I can indeed do nothing with him. Chap. XVI. The master said, when a number of people are together for a whole day without their conversation turning on righteousness, and when they are fond of carrying out the suggestions of a small shrewdness, theirs is indeed a hard case. Chap. XVII. The master said, the superior man in everything considers righteousness to be essential. He performs it according to the rules of propriety. He brings it forth in humility. He completes it with sincerity. This is indeed a superior man. Chap. XVII. The master said, the superior man is distressed by his want of ability. He is not distressed by men's not knowing him. Chap. XIX. The master said, the superior man dislikes the thought of his name not being mentioned after his death. Chap. XX. The master said, what the superior man seeks is in himself. What the mean man seeks is in others. Chap. XXI. The master said, the superior man is dignified but does not wrangle. He is sociable but not a partisan. Chap. XXII. The master said, the superior man does not promote a man simply on account of his words, nor does he put aside good words because of the man. Chap. XXII. Ti Shi Kung asked, saying, is there one word which may serve as a rule of practice for all one's life? The master said, is not reciprocity such a word? What you do not want done to yourself, do not do to others. Chap. XXIV. 1. The master said, in my dealings with men, whose evil do I blame, whose goodness do I praise beyond what is proper? If I do sometimes exceed in praise, there must be ground for it in my examination of the individual too. This people supplied the ground why the three dynasties pursued the path of straightforwardness. Chap. XXV. The master said, even in my early days, a historiographer would leave a blank in his text, and he who had a horse would lend him to another to ride. Now, alas, there are no such things. Chap. XXVI. The master said, specious words confound virtue. Want of forbearance in small matters confounds great plans. Chap. XXVII. The master said, when the multitude hate a man, it is necessary to examine into the case. When the multitude like a man, it is necessary to examine into the case. Chap. XXVII. The master said, a man can enlarge the principles which he follows, those principles do not enlarge the man. Chap. XXIX. The master said, to have faults and not to reform them, this indeed should be pronounced having faults. Chap. XXX. The master said, I have been the whole day without eating and the whole night without sleeping, occupied with thinking, it was of no use. The better plan is to learn. Chap. XXXI. The master said, the object of the superior man is truth. Food is not his object. There is plowing, even in that there is sometimes want. So with learning, emolument may be found in it. The superior man is anxious lest he should not get truth. He is not anxious lest poverty should come upon him. Chap. XXXII 1. The master said, when a man's knowledge is sufficient to attain and his virtue is not sufficient to enable him to hold whatever he may have gained, he will lose again, too. When his knowledge is sufficient to attain and he has virtue enough to hold fast, if he cannot govern with dignity, the people will not respect him. 3. When his knowledge is sufficient to attain and he has virtue enough to hold fast, when he governs also with dignity, yet if he try to move the people contrary to the rules of propriety, full excellence is not reached. Chap. XXXII. The master said, the superior man cannot be known in little matters, but he may be entrusted with great concerns. The small man may not be entrusted with great concerns, but he may be known in little matters. Chap. XXXIV. The master said, "Virtue is more to man than either water or fire. I have seen men die from treading on water and fire, but I have never seen a man die from treading the course of virtue." Chap. XXXV. The master said, "Let every man consider virtue as what devolves on himself. He may not yield the performance of it even to his teacher." Chap. XXXVI. The master said, "The superior man is correctly firm and not firm merely." Chap. XXXVII. The master said, "A minister, in serving his prince, reverently discharges his duties and makes his emolument a secondary consideration." Chap. XXXVII. The master said, "In teaching there should be no distinction of classes." Chap. XXXIX. The master said, "Those whose courses are different cannot lay plans for one another." Chap. XL. The master said, "In language it is simply required that it convey the meaning." Chap. XLI. 1. The music master mean, having called upon him, when they came to the steps, the master said, "Here are the steps." When they came to the mat for the guest to sit upon, he said, "Here is the mat." When all were seated, the master informed him, saying, "So-and-so is here, so-and-so is here." 2. The music master mean, having gone out, Tishi Chang asked, saying, "Is it the rule to tell those things to the music master?" 3. The master said, "Yes, this is certainly the rule for those who lead the blind." Book XVI, K-E-S-H-E, Chap. I 1. The head of the Kai family was going to attack, C.H. Wan Yu. 2. Zan Yu and Kai Lu had an interview with Confucius and said, "Our chief Kai is going to commence operations against C.H. Wan Yu." 3. Confucius said, "C.H. Yu, is it not you who are in fault here?" 4. Now, in regard to C.H. Wan Yu, long ago, a former king appointed its ruler to preside over the sacrifices to the Eastern Meng. Moreover, it is in the midst of the territory of our state, and its ruler is a minister in direct connection with the sovereign. What has your chief to do with attacking it? 5. Zan Yu said, "Our master wishes the thing, neither of us two ministers wishes it." 6. Confucius said, "Ch. Yu, there are the words of Chao Zan. When he can put forth his ability, he takes his place in the ranks of office. When he finds himself unable to do so, he retires from it. How can he be used as a guide to a blind man who does not support him when tottering, nor raise him up when fallen?" 7. And further, you speak wrongly. When a tiger or rhinoceros escapes from his cage, when a tortoise or piece of jade is injured in its repository, whose is the fault? 8. Zan Yu said, "But at present, C.H. Wan Yu is strong and near to Pai. If our chief do not now take it, it will hereafter be a sorrow to his descendants." 9. Confucius said, "C.H. Yu, the superior man hates that declining to say, 'I want such and such a thing,' and framing explanations for the conduct." 10. I have heard that rulers of states and chiefs of families are not troubled lest their people should be few, but are troubled lest they should not keep their several places, that they are not troubled with fears of poverty, but are troubled with fears of a want of contented repose among the people in their several places. For when the people keep their several places, there will be no poverty. When harmony prevails, there will be no scarcity of people. And when there is such a contented repose, there will be no rebellious upsettings." 11. So it is. Therefore, if remoter people are not submissive, all the influences of civil culture and virtue are to be cultivated to attract them to be so, and when they have been so attracted, they must be made contented and tranquil. 12. Now here are you and CHU assisting your chief. Remoter people are not submissive, and with your help he cannot attract them to him. In his own territory there are divisions and downfalls, leavings and separations, and with your help he cannot preserve it. 13. And yet he is planning these hostile movements within the state. I am afraid that the sorrow of the Kai Sun family will not be on account of C.H. Wan Yu, but will be found within the screen of their own court. Chap. II 1. Confucius said, "When good government prevails, in the empire, ceremonies, music, and punitive military expeditions proceed from the Son of Heaven. When bad government prevails in the empire, ceremonies, music, and punitive military expeditions proceed from the princes. When these things proceed from the princes, as a rule, the cases will be few in which they do not lose their power in 10 generations. When they proceed from the great officers of the princes, as a rule, the cases will be few in which they do not lose their power in 5 generations. When the subsidiary ministers of the great officers hold in their grasp the orders of the state, as a rule, the cases will be few in which they do not lose their power in 3 generations, too. When right principles prevail in the kingdom, government will not be in the hands of the great officers. 3. When right principles prevail in the kingdom, there will be no discussions among the common people. Chap. III. Confucius said, "The revenue of the state has left the ducal house now for 5 generations. The government has been in the hands of the great officers for 4 generations. On this account, the descendants of the 3 Heichuan are much reduced." Chap. IV. Confucius said, "There are 3 friendships which are advantageous and 3 which are injurious. Friendship with the upright, friendship with the sincere, and friendship with the man of much observation, these are advantageous. Friendship with the man of specious airs, friendship with the insinuatingly soft, and friendship with the glib-tongued, these are injurious." Chap. V. Confucius said, "There are 3 things men find enjoyment in which are advantageous, and 3 things they find enjoyment in which are injurious. To find enjoyment in the discriminating study of ceremonies and music, to find enjoyment in speaking of the goodness of others, to find enjoyment in having many worthy friends, these are advantageous. To find enjoyment in extravagant pleasures, to find enjoyment in idleness and sauntering, to find enjoyment in the pleasures of feasting, these are injurious." Chap. VI. Confucius said, "There are 3 errors to which they who stand in the presence of a man of virtue and station are liable. They may speak when it does not come to them to speak. This is called rashness. They may not speak when it comes to them to speak. This is called concealment. They may speak without looking at the countenance of their superior. This is called blindness." Chap. VII. Confucius said, "There are 3 things which the superior man guards against. In youth, when the physical powers are not yet settled, he guards against lust. When he is strong and the physical powers are full of vigor, he guards against quarrelsomeness. When he is old and the animal powers are decayed, he guards against covetousness." Chap. VII. 1. Confucius said, "There are 3 things of which the superior man stands in awe. He stands in awe of the ordinances of heaven. He stands in awe of great men. He stands in awe of the words of sages. 2. The mean man does not know the ordinances of heaven, and consequently does not stand in awe of them. He is disrespectful to great men. He makes sport of the words of sages." Chap. IX. Confucius said, "Those who are born with the possession of knowledge are the highest class of men. Those who learn and so readily get possession of knowledge are the next. Those who are dull and stupid and yet compass the learning are another class next to these. As to those who are dull and stupid and yet do not learn, they are the lowest of the people." Chap. X. Confucius said, "The superior man has 9 things, which are subjects with him of thoughtful consideration. In regard to the use of his eyes, he is anxious to see clearly. In regard to the use of his ears, he is anxious to hear distinctly. In regard to his countenance, he is anxious that it should be benign. In regard to his demeanor, he is anxious that it should be respectful. In regard to his speech, he is anxious that it should be sincere. In regard to his doing of business, he is anxious that it should be reverently careful. In regard to what he doubts about, he is anxious to question others. When he is angry, he thinks of the difficulties his anger may involve him in. When he sees gain to be got, he thinks of righteousness." Chap. XI. 1. Confucius said, "Contemplating good and pursuing it as if they could not reach it, contemplating evil and shrinking from it as they would from thrusting the hand into boiling water. I have seen such men, as I have heard such words too, living in retirement to study their aims and practicing righteousness to carry out their principles. I have heard these words, but I have not seen such men." Chap. XII. 1. The Duke Qing of Xi'echi had 1,000 teams, each of 4 horses, but on the day of his death, the people did not praise him for a single virtue. Poai and Xu Xi'echi died of hunger at the foot of the Shaoyang Mountain, and the people down to the present time praise them, too. Is not that saying illustrated by this? Chap. XII. 1. Xi'echan Kayang asked Po Yu, saying, "Have you heard any lessons from your father different from what we have all heard?" 2. Po Yu replied, "No. He was standing alone once when I passed below the hall with hasty steps and said to me, 'Have you learned the odes?' On my replying, 'Not yet,' he added, 'If you do not learn the odes, you will not be fit to converse with.' I retired and studied the odes 3. Another day, he was in the same way standing alone when I passed by below the hall with hasty steps and said to me, 'Have you learned the rules of propriety?' On my replying, 'Not yet,' he added, 'If you do not learn the rules of propriety, your character cannot be established.' I then retired and learned the rules of propriety 4. I have heard only these 2 things from him. 5. Xi'echan Kayang retired and quite delighted said, 'I asked 1 thing and I have got 3 things. I have heard about the odes. I have heard about the rules of propriety. I have also heard that the superior man maintains a distant reserve towards his son. Chap, XIV. The wife of the prince of estate is called by him Fu Zian. She calls herself Hsiao Tiang. The people of the state call her Chun Fu Zian, and to the people of other states they call her Kwa Hsiao Chun. The people of other states also call her Chun Fu Zan. Book XVII, Yang Ho Chap, I1. Yang Ho wished to see Confucius, but Confucius would not go to see him. On this, he sent a present of a pig to Confucius, who, having chosen a time when Ho was not at home, went to pay his respects for the gift. He met him, however, on the way too. Ho said to Confucius, "Come, let me speak with you." He then asked, "Can he be called benevolent who keeps his jewel in his bosom and leaves his country to confusion?" Confucius replied, "No. Can he be called wise who is anxious to be engaged in public employment and yet is constantly losing the opportunity of being so?" Confucius again said, "No. The days and months are passing away, the years do not wait for us." Confucius said, "Right, I will go into office." Chap, II. The master said, "By nature, men are nearly alike. By practice, they get to be wide apart." Chap, II. The master said, "There are only the wise of the highest class and the stupid of the lowest class who cannot be changed." Chap, IV1. The master, having come to Wu Xie Chang, heard there the sound of stringed instruments and singing. 2. Well pleased and smiling, he said, "Why use an ox knife to kill a fowl?" 3. Tishiyu replied, "Formerly, master, I heard you say, when the man of high station is well instructed, he loves men. When the man of low station is well instructed, he is easily ruled." 4. The master said, "My disciples, Yen's words are right. What I said was only in sport." Chap. V. Kongshan Fu Zhao, when he was holding Pai and in an attitude of rebellion, invited the master to visit him, who was rather inclined to go too. Tishi Lu was displeased and said, "Indeed, you cannot go. Why must you think of going to see Kongshan?" 3. The master said, "Can it be without some reason that he has invited me? If anyone employ me, may I not make an Eastern chow?" Chap. VI. Tishi Chang asked Confucius about perfect virtue. Confucius said, "To be able to practice 5 things everywhere under heaven constitutes perfect virtue." He begged to ask what they were and was told, "Gravity, generosity of soul, sincerity, earnestness, and kindness. If you are grave, you will not be treated with disrespect. If you are generous, you will win all. If you are sincere, people will repose trust in you. If you are earnest, you will accomplish much. If you are kind, this will enable you to employ the services of others." Chap. VII. 1. Pai Hsi inviting him to visit him, the master was inclined to go too. Tishi Lu said, "Master, formerly I have heard you say, when a man in his own person is guilty of doing evil, a superior man will not associate with him. Pai Hsi is in rebellion, holding possession of Cheng Mao. If you go to him, what shall be said?" 3. The master said, "Yes, I did use these words. But is it not said that if a thing be really hard, it may be ground without being made thin? Is it not said that if a thing be really white, it may be steeped in a dark fluid without being made black? 4. Am I a bitter gourd? How can I be hung up out of the way of being eaten?" Chap. VII. 1. The master said, "You, have you heard the 6 words to which are attached 6 becloudings?" You replied, "I have not." 2. Sit down and I will tell them to you. 3. There is the love of being benevolent without the love of learning. The beclouding here leads to a foolish simplicity. There is the love of knowing without the love of learning. The beclouding here leads to dissipation of mind. There is the love of being sincere without the love of learning. The beclouding here leads to an injurious disregard of consequences. There is the love of straightforwardness without the love of learning. The beclouding here leads to rudeness. There is the love of boldness without the love of learning. The beclouding here leads to insubordination. There is the love of firmness without the love of learning. The beclouding here leads to extravagant conduct. Chap. IX1. The master said, "My children, why do you not study the book of poetry?" 2. The odes serve to stimulate the mind. 3. They may be used for purposes of self-contemplation. 4. They teach the art of sociability. 5. They show how to regulate feelings of resentment. 6. From them, you learn the more immediate duty of serving one's father and the remoter one of serving one's prince. 7. From them, we become largely acquainted with the names of birds, beasts, and plants. Chap. X. The master said to Po Yu, "Do you give yourself to the Chaonan and the Shaonan? The man who has not studied the Chaonan and the Shaonan is like one who stands with his face right against a wall, is he not so?" Chap. XI. The master said, "It is according to the rules of propriety, they say. It is according to the rules of propriety, they say. Are gems and silk all that is meant by propriety? It is music, they say. It is music, they say, are bells and drums all, that is meant by music. Chap. XII, the master said, he who puts on an appearance of stern firmness, while inwardly he is weak, is like one of the small, mean people. Yea, is he not like the thief who breaks through or climbs over a wall? Chap. XII, the master said, your good, careful people of the villages are the thieves of virtue. Chap. XIV, the master said, to tell as we go along what we have heard on the way is to cast away our virtue. Chap. XV1, the master said, there are those mean creatures, how impossible it is along with them to serve ones. Prince 2. While they have not got their aims, their anxiety is how to get them. When they have got them, their anxiety is lest they should lose them. 3. When they are anxious lest such things should be lost, there is nothing to which they will not proceed. Chap. XVI. 1. The master said, anciently men had 3 failings, which now perhaps are not to be found. 2. The high-mindedness of antiquity showed itself in a disregard of small things. The high-mindedness of the present day shows itself in wild license. The stern dignity of antiquity showed itself in grave reserve. The stern dignity of the present day shows itself in quarrelsome perverseness. The stupidity of antiquity showed itself in straightforwardness. The stupidity of the present day shows itself in sheer deceit. Chap. XVII. The master said, fine words and an insinuating appearance are seldom associated with virtue. Chap. XVII. The master said, I hate the manner in which purple takes away the luster of vermilion. I hate the way in which the songs of Chang confound the music of the Ya. I hate those who, with their sharp mouths, overthrow kingdoms and families. Chap. XIX. The master said, I would prefer not speaking. 2. Ti Shi Kung said, if you, master, do not speak, what shall we, your disciples, have to record? 3. The master said, does heaven speak? The four seasons pursue their courses, and all things are continually being produced, but does heaven say anything? Chap. XX. Zhu Pei wished to see Confucius, but Confucius declined on the ground of being sick to see him. When the bearer of this message went out at the door, the master took his lute and sang to it in order that Pei might hear him. Chap. XXI. One Sai Wo asked about the 3 years' mourning for parents, saying that 1 year was long enough too. If the superior man, said he, abstains for 3 years from the observances of propriety, those observances will be quite lost. If for 3 years he abstains from music, music will be ruined. 3. Within a year the old grain is exhausted, and the new grain has sprung up, and in procuring fire by friction we go through all the changes of wood for that purpose. After a complete year the mourning may stop. 4. The master said, if you were, after a year, to eat good rice and wear embroidered clothes, would you feel at ease? I should, replied Wo. 5. The master said, if you can feel at ease, do it. But a superior man during the whole period of mourning does not enjoy pleasant food which he may eat, nor derive pleasure from music which he may hear. He also does not feel at ease if he is comfortably lodged. Therefore he does not do what you propose, but now you feel at ease and may do it. 6. Sai Wo then went out, and the master said, this shows Yu's want of virtue. It is not till a child is 3 years old that it is allowed to leave the arms of its parents. And the 3 years mourning is universally observed throughout the empire. Did Yu enjoy the 3 years' love of his parents? Chap. XXII. The master said, hard is it to deal with him who will stuff himself with food the whole day without applying his mind to anything good. Are there not gamesters and chess players? To be one of these would still be better than doing nothing at all. Chap. XXII. Ti Shi Lu said, does the superior man esteem valor? The master said, the superior man holds righteousness to be of highest importance. A man in a superior situation having valor without righteousness will be guilty of insubordination. One of the lower people having valor without righteousness will commit robbery. Chap. XXIV. 1. Ti Shi Kung said, has the superior man his hatreds also? The master said, he has his hatreds. He hates those who proclaim the evil of others. He hates the man who, being in a low station, slanders his superiors. He hates those who have valor merely and are unobservant of propriety. He hates those who are forward and determined, and at the same time of contracted understanding. 2. The master then inquired, TSZ, have you also your hatreds? Ti Shi Kung replied, I hate those who pry out matters and ascribe the knowledge to their wisdom. I hate those who are only not modest and think that they are valorous. I hate those who make known secrets and think that they are straightforward. Chap. XXV. The master said, of all people, girls and servants are the most difficult to behave to. If you are familiar with them, they lose their humility. If you maintain a reserve towards them, they are discontented. Chap. XXVI. The master said, When a man at 40 is the object of dislike, he will always continue what he is. Book XVII, Wei TSE. Chap I won, the Viscount of Wei withdrew from the court. The Viscount of Kai became a slave to Chao. Paikan remonstrated with him and died, too. Confucius said, the Yin dynasty possessed these three men of virtue. Chap II, Hui of Liu Aisha being chief criminal judge was thrice dismissed from his office. Someone said to him, is it not yet time for you, sir, to leave this? He replied, serving men in an upright way, where shall I go to and not experience such a thrice? Repeated, dismissal. If I choose to serve men in a crooked way, what necessity is there for me to leave the country of my parents? Chap, II, the Duke Qing of Xiechi, with reference to the manner in which he should treat Confucius, said, I cannot treat him as I would the chief of the Kai family. I will treat him in a manner between that accorded to the chief of the Kai and that given to the chief of the Mang family. He also said, I am old, I cannot use his doctrines. Confucius took his departure. Chap, IV. The people of Xiechi sent to Lu a present of female musicians, which Kai Aichuan received, and for 3 days no court was held. Confucius took his departure. Chap, V1. The madman of Xiechu, Qi Yu, passed by, Confucius, singing and saying, O Fang, how is your virtue degenerated? As to the past, reproof is useless, but the future may still be provided against. Give up your vain pursuit. Give up your vain pursuit. Peril awaits those who now engage in affairs of government. 2. Confucius alighted and wished to converse with him, but Qi Yu hastened away so that he could not talk with him. Chap, VI. One Xie Changsu and Qin Ai were at work in the field, together when Confucius passed by them and sent Tishi Lu to inquire for the Ford too. Xie Changsu said, who is he that holds the reins in the carriage there? Tishi Lu told him, it is Kayung Xie Chiu. Is it not Kayung Xie Chiu of Lu? Asked he. Yes, was the reply, to which the other rejoined, he knows the Ford. 3. Tishi Lu then inquired of Qin Ai, who said to him, who are you, sir? He answered, I am Cheng Yu. Are you not the disciple of Kayung Xiechu of Lu? Asked the other. I am, replied he, and then Qin Ai said to him, disorder like a swelling flood spreads over the whole empire, and who is he that will change its state for you? Then follow one who merely withdraws from this. One and that one, had you not better follow those who have withdrawn from the world altogether? With this he fell to covering up the seed and proceeded with his work without stopping for. Tishi Lu went and reported their remarks when the master observed with a sigh, it is impossible to associate with birds and beasts as if they were the same with us. If I associate not with these people, with mankind, with whom shall I associate? If right principles prevailed through the empire, there would be no use for me to change its state. Chap. VII. 1. Tishi Lu, following the master, happened to fall behind when he met an old man carrying across his shoulder on a staff a basket for weeds. Tishi Lu said to him, have you seen my master, sir? The old man replied, your four limbs are unaccustomed to toil. You cannot distinguish the five kinds of grain. Who is your master? With this, he planted his staff in the ground and proceeded to weed. 2. Tishi Lu joined his hands across his breast and stood before him. 3. The old man kept Tishi Lu to pass the night in his house. Killed a fowl, prepared millet, and feasted him. He also introduced to him his two sons. 4. Next day, Tishi Lu went on his way and reported his adventure. The master said, he is a recluse, and sent Tishi Lu back to see him again, but when he got to the place, the old man was gone. 5. Tishi Lu then said to the family, not to take office is not righteous. If the relations between old and young may not be neglected, how is it that he sets aside the duties that should be observed between sovereign and minister? Wishing to maintain his personal purity, he allows that great relation to come to confusion. A superior man takes office and performs the righteous duties belonging to it. As to the failure of right principles to make progress, he is aware of that. Chap. VII. 1. The men who have retired to privacy from the world have been Po Ai, Xu Xiechi, Yu Cheng, Aiya, Chu Chang, Hui of Liu Aisha, and Shaolian. 2. The master said, refusing to surrender their wills or to submit to any taint in their persons. Such, I think, were Po Ai and Xu Xiechi. 3. It may be said of Hui of Liu Aisha and of Shaolian that they surrendered their wills and submitted to taint in their persons, but their words corresponded with reason and their actions were such as men are anxious to see. This is all that is to be remarked in them. 4. It may be said of Yu Cheng and Ai Ye that, while they hid themselves in their seclusion, they gave a license to their words, but in their persons they succeeded in preserving their purity, and in their retirement they acted according to the exigency of the times. 5. I am different from all these. I have no course for which I am predetermined and no course against which I am predetermined. Chap. IX. 1. the grand music master Qi went to see Echi, too. Can, the master of the band at the second meal, went to see Chu. Liao, the band master at the third meal, went to TSI. Qiu, the band master at the fourth meal, went to see Chin 3. Fangshu, the drum master, withdrew to the north of the river 4. Wu, the master of the hand drum, withdrew to the hand 5. Yang, the assistant music master, and H. Xiang, master of the musical stone, withdrew to an island in the sea, Chap. X, the Duke of Chao, addressed his son, the Duke of Lu, saying, "The virtuous prince does not neglect his relations. He does not cause the great ministers to repine at his not employing them. Without some great cause, he does not dismiss from their offices the members of old families. He does not seek in one man talents for every employment." Chap. XI. To Chao belong the 8 officers, Po Ta, Po Kuo, Cheng Tu, Cheng HWU, Shuya, Shuecha, Kai Sui, and Kai Kua, Book XIX, TSC, CHANG, Chap. IT Shi Chang said, "The scholar, trained for public duty, seeing threatening danger, is prepared to sacrifice his life. When the opportunity of gain is presented to him, he thinks of righteousness. In sacrificing, his thoughts are reverential. In mourning, his thoughts are about the grief which he should feel. Such a man commands our approbation indeed." Chap. II. Tishi Chang said, "When a man holds fast to virtue, but without seeking to enlarge it, and believes right principles, but without firm sincerity, what account can be made of his existence or non-existence?" Chap. III. The disciples of Tishi Echa asked Tishi Chang about the principles that should characterize mutual intercourse. Tishi Chang asked, "What does Tishi Echa say on the subject?" They replied, "Tishi Echa says, associate with those who can advantage you, put away from you those who cannot do so." Tishi Chang observed, "This is different from what I have learned. The superior man honors the talented and virtuous and bears with all. He praises the good and pities the incompetent. Am I possessed of great talents and virtue? Who is there among men whom I will not bear with? Am I devoid of talents and virtue? Men will put me away from them. What have we to do with the putting away of others?" Chap. IV. Tishi Echa said, "Even in inferior studies and employments, there is something worth being looked at, but if it be attempted to carry them out to what is remote, there is a danger of their proving inapplicable. Therefore, the superior man does not practice them." Chap. V. Tishi Echa said, "He who from day to day recognizes what he has not yet, and from month to month does not forget what he has attained to, may be said indeed to love to learn." Chap. VI. Tishi Echa said, "There are learning extensively and having a firm and sincere aim, inquiring with earnestness and reflecting with self-application. Virtue is in such a course." Chap. VII. Tishi Echa said, "Mechanics have their shops to dwell in order to accomplish their works. The superior man learns in order to reach to the utmost of his principles." Chap. VII. Tishi Echa said, "The mean man is sure to gloss his faults." Chap. IX. Tishi Echa said, "The superior man undergoes 3 changes. Looked at from a distance, he appears stern. When approached, he is mild. When he is heard to speak, his language is firm and decided." Chap. X. Tishi Echa said, "The superior man, having obtained their confidence, may then impose labors on his people. If he have not gained their confidence, they will think that he is oppressing them. Having obtained the confidence of his prince, one may then remonstrate with him. If he have not gained his confidence, the prince will think that he is vilifying him." Chap. XI. Tishi Echa said, "When a person does not transgress the boundary line in the great virtues, he may pass and repass it in the small virtues." Chap. XII. 1. Tishi Yu said, "The disciples and followers of Tishi Echa, in sprinkling and sweeping the ground, in answering and replying, in advancing and receding, are sufficiently accomplished. But these are only the branches of learning, and they are left ignorant of what is essential. How can they be acknowledged as sufficiently taught?" 2. Tishi Echa heard of the remark and said, "Alas, Yen Yu is wrong. According to the way of the superior man in teaching, what departments are there which he considers of prime importance and delivers? What are there which he considers of secondary importance and allows himself to be idle about? But as in the case of plants, which are assorted according to their classes, so he deals with his disciples. How can the way of a superior man be such as to make fools of any of them? Is it not the sage alone who can unite in one the beginning and the consummation of learning?" Chap. XIII. Tishi Echa said, "The officer, having discharged all his duties, should devote his leisure to learning. The student, having completed his learning, should apply himself to be an officer." Chap. XIV. Tishi Echa said, "Mourning, having been carried to the utmost degree of grief, should stop with that." Chap. XV. Tishi Echa said, My friend Chang can do things which are hard to be done, but yet he is not perfectly virtuous. Chap, XVI, the philosopher Tsang said, how imposing is the manner of Chang, it is difficult along with him to practice virtue. Chap, XVII, the philosopher Tsang said, I heard this from our master. Men may not have shown what is in them to the full extent, and yet they will be found to do so on occasion of mourning for their parents. Chap, XVII, the philosopher Tsang said, I have heard this from our master. The filial piety of Meng Xiechuang and other matters was what other men are competent to, but as seen in his, not changing the ministers of his father nor his father's mode of government, it is difficult to be attained to. Chap, XIX, the chief of the Meng family having appointed Yang Fu to be chief criminal judge, the latter consulted the philosopher Tsang. Tsang said, the rulers have failed in their duties and the people consequently have been disorganized for a long time. When you have found out the truth of any accusation, be grieved for and pity them and do not feel joy at your own ability. Chap, XX. Ti Shi Kung said, Chao's wickedness was not so great as that name implies. Therefore, the superior man hates to dwell in a low-lying situation where all the evil of the world will flow in upon him. Chap, XXI. Ti Shi Kung said, the faults of the superior man are like the eclipses of the sun and moon. He has his faults and all men see them. He changes again and all men look up to him. Chap. XXII 1 Kung Sun Ca Chao of Wei asked Ti Shi Kung, saying, from whom did Cheng Nai get his learning? 2. Ti Shi Kung replied, the doctrines of Wan and Wu have not yet fallen to the ground. They are to be found among men. Men of talents and virtue remember the greater principles of them, and others, not possessing such talents and virtue, remember the smaller. Thus, all possess the doctrines of Wan and Wu. Where could our master go that he should not have an opportunity of learning them? And yet what necessity was there for his having a regular master? Chap, XXII, one Shu Sun Wushu observed to the great officers in the court saying, Ti Shi Kung is superior to Cheng Nai. 2. Ti Shi Fu Qingpo reported the observation to Ti Shi Kung, who said, let me use the comparison of a house and its encompassing wall. My wall only reaches to the shoulders. One may peep over it and see whatever is valuable in the apartments. 3. The wall of my master is several fathoms high. If one do not find the door and enter by it, he cannot see the ancestral temple with its beauties, nor all the officers in their rich array. 4. But I may assume that they are few who find the door. Was not the observation of the chief only what might have been expected? Chap, XXIV, Shu Sun Wushu having spoken revilingly of Cheng Nai, Ti Shi Kung said, it is of no use doing so. Cheng Nai cannot be reviled. The talents and virtue of other men are hillocks and mounds which may be stepped over. Cheng Nai is the sun or moon, which it is not possible to step over. Although a man may wish to cut himself off from the sage, what harm can he do to the sun or moon? He only shows that he does not know his own capacity. Chap. XXV 1 Ca Chan Ti Shi Ca Chin, addressing Ti Shi Kung, said, you are too modest. How can Cheng Nai be said to be superior to you? 2. Ti Shi Kung said to him, for one word a man is often deemed to be wise, and for one word he is often deemed to be foolish. We ought to be careful indeed in what we say. 3. Our master cannot be attained to, just in the same way as the heavens cannot be gone up to by the steps of a stair. 4. Were our master in the position of the ruler of a state, or the chief of a family, we should find verified the description which has been given of a sage's rule. He would plant the people, and forthwith they would be established. He would lead them on, and forthwith they would follow him. He would make them happy, and forthwith multitudes would resort to his dominions. He would stimulate them, and forthwith they would be harmonious. While he lived, he would be glorious. When he died, he would be bitterly lamented. How is it possible for him to be attained to? Book XX. Yao Yueh Chap. I 1. Yao said, oh, you Shun, the heaven-determined order of succession now rests in your person. Sincerely hold fast the do mean. If there shall be distress and want within the four seas, the heavenly revenue will come to a perpetual end. 2. Shun also used the same language in giving charge to you. 3. Tiang said, I, the child Li, presume to use a dark-colored victim and presume to announce to thee, O most great and sovereign God, that the sinner I dare not pardon and thy ministers, O God, I do not keep in obscurity. The examination of them is by thy mind, O God. If in my person I commit offenses, they are not to be attributed to you, the people of the myriad regions. If you in the myriad regions commit offenses, these offenses must rest on my person. 4. Chao conferred great gifts and the good were enriched. 5. Although he has his near relatives, they are not equal to my virtuous men. The people are throwing blame upon me, the one man. 6. He carefully attended to the weights and measures. examined the body of the laws, restored the discarded officers, and the good government of the kingdom took its course. 7. He revived states that had been extinguished, restored. Families whose line of succession had been broken and called to office those who had retired into obscurity so that throughout the kingdom the hearts of the people turned towards him. 8. What he attached chief importance to were the food of the people, the duties of mourning, and sacrifices. 9. By his generosity, he won all. By his sincerity, he made the people repose trust in him. By his earnest activity, his achievements were great. By his justice, all were delighted. Chap. II. Tishi Cheng asked Confucius, saying, "In what way should a person in authority act in order that he may conduct government properly?" The master replied, "Let him honor the 5 excellent and banish away the 4 bad things, then may he conduct government properly." Tishi Cheng said, "What are meant by the 5 excellent things?" The master said, "When the person in authority is beneficent without great expenditure, when he lays tasks on the people without their repining, when he pursues what he desires without being covetous, when he maintains a dignified ease without being proud, when he is majestic without being fierce." 2. Tishi Cheng said, "What is meant by being beneficent without great expenditure?" The master replied, "When the person in authority makes more beneficial to the people the things from which they naturally derive benefit, is not this being beneficent without great expenditure? When he chooses the labors which are proper and makes them labor on them, who will repine? When his desires are set on benevolent government and he secures it, who will accuse him of covetousness? Whether he has to do with many people or few, or with things great or small, he does not dare to indicate any disrespect. Is not this to maintain a dignified ease, without any pride? He adjusts his clothes and cap and throws a dignity into his looks, so that thus dignified he is looked at with awe. Is not this to be majestic without being fierce?" 3. Tishi Cheng then asked, "What are meant by the 4 bad things?" The master said, "To put the people to death without having instructed them. This is called cruelty. To require from them, suddenly, the full tale of work without having given them warning. This is called oppression. To issue orders as if without urgency at first, and when the time comes to insist on them with severity. This is called injury. And generally, in the giving pay or rewards to men, to do it in a stingy way. This is called acting the part of a mere official." Chap. II. 1. The master said, "Without recognizing the ordinances of heaven, it is impossible to be a superior man." 2. Without an acquaintance with the rules of propriety, it is impossible for the character to be established. 3. Without knowing the force of words, it is impossible to know men. End of the project. GUTMBRG EBOOK, the Analects of Confucius, from the Chinese CLASSICS. Updated editions will replace the previous one. The old editions will be renamed. Creating the works from print editions not protected by U.S. copyright law means that no one owns a United States copyright in these works, so the foundation and you can copy and distribute it in the United States without permission and without paying copyright royalties. Special rules set forth in the general terms of use part of this license apply to copying and distributing project Gutenberg trademark electronic works to protect the project GUTMBRGTM concept and trademark. Project Gutenberg is a registered trademark and may not be used if you charge for an ebook, except by following the terms of the trademark license, including paying royalties for use of the Project Gutenberg trademark. If you do not charge anything for copies of this ebook, complying with the trademark license is very easy. You may use this ebook for nearly any purpose, such as creation of derivative works, reports, performances, and research. Project Gutenberg ebooks may be modified and printed and given away. You may do practically anything in the United States with ebooks not protected by U.S. copyright law. Redistribution is subject to the trademark license, especially commercial redistribution. Start full license. The full project GUTMBRGTM license. Please read this before you distribute or use this work to protect the Project Gutenberg trademark mission of promoting the free distribution of electronic works by using or distributing this work or any other work associated in any way with the phrase Project Gutenberg. You agree to comply with all the terms of the full Project Gutenberg license available with this file or online at www.gutenberg.org/license. Section 1. General Terms of Use and Redistributing Project Gutenberg Electronic Works. 1a. By reading or using any part of this Project Gutenberg electronic work, you indicate that you have read, understand, agree to, and accept all the terms of this license and intellectual property. Trademark copyright agreement. If you do not agree to abide by all the terms of this agreement, you must cease using and return or destroy all copies of Project Gutenberg electronic works in your possession. If you paid a fee for obtaining a copy of or access to a Project Gutenberg electronic work and you do not agree to be bound by the terms of this agreement, you may obtain a refund from the person or entity to whom you paid the fee as set forth in paragraph 1E8, 1B. Project Gutenberg is a registered trademark. It may only be used on or associated in any way with an electronic work by people who agree to be bound by the terms of this agreement. There are a few things that you can do with most Project Gutenberg electronic works, even without complying with the full terms of this agreement. C. Paragraph 1C below. There are a lot of things you can do with Project Gutenberg electronic works if you follow the terms of this agreement and help preserve free future access to Project Gutenberg electronic works. See paragraph 1E below 1C. The Project Gutenberg Literary Archive Foundation, the Foundation or PGLAF, owns a compilation copyright in the collection of Project Gutenberg electronic works. Nearly all the individual works in the collection are in the public domain in the United States. If an individual work is unprotected by copyright law in the United States and you are located in the United States, we do not claim a right to prevent you from copying, distributing, performing, displaying, or creating derivative works based on the work as long as all references to Project Gutenberg are removed. Of course, we hope that you will support the Project Gutenberg mission of promoting free access to electronic works by freely sharing Project Gutenberg works in compliance with the terms of this agreement for keeping the Project Gutenberg name associated with the work. You can easily comply with the terms of this agreement by keeping this work in the same format with its attached full Project Gutenberg license when you share it without charge with others. 1D. The copyright laws of the place where you are located also govern what you can do with this work. Copyright laws in most countries are in a constant state of change. If you are outside the United States, check the laws of your country in addition to the terms of this agreement before downloading, copying, displaying, performing, distributing, or creating derivative works based on this work or any other Project Gutenberg work. The Foundation makes no representations concerning the copyright status of any work in any country other than the United States. 1E. Unless you have removed all references to Project Gutenberg, 1E1, the following sentence with active links to or other immediate access to the full Project Gutenberg license must appear prominently whenever any copy of a Project Gutenberg work, any work on which the phrase Project Gutenberg appears or with which the phrase Project Gutenberg is associated is accessed, displayed, performed, viewed, copied, or distributed. This ebook is for the use of anyone anywhere in the United States and most other parts of the world at no cost and with almost no restrictions whatsoever. You may copy it, give it away, or reuse it under the terms of the Project Gutenberg trademark license included with this ebook or online. www.gutenberg.org. If you are not located in the United States, you will have to check the laws of the country where you are located before using this ebook. 1E2. If an individual Project Gutenberg electronic work is derived from texts not protected by U.S. copyright law, does not contain a notice indicating that it is posted with permission of the copyright holder, the work can be copied and distributed to anyone in the United States without paying any fees or charges. If you are redistributing or providing access to work with the phrase Project Gutenberg associated with or appearing on the work, you must comply either with the requirements of paragraphs 1E1 through 1E7, or obtain permission for the use of the work and the Project Gutenberg trademark as set forth in paragraphs 1E8 or 1E9. 1E3. If an individual Project Gutenberg electronic work is posted with the permission of the copyright holder, your use and distribution must comply with both paragraphs 1E1 through 1E7 and any additional terms imposed by the copyright holder. Additional terms will be linked to the Project Gutenberg license for all works posted with the permission of the copyright holder found at the beginning of this work. 1E4. Do not unlink or detach or remove the full Project Gutenberg license terms from this work or any files containing a part of this work or any other work associated with Project Gutenberg. 1. E5. Do not copy, display, perform, distribute, or redistribute this electronic work or any part of this electronic work without prominently displaying the sentence set forth in paragraph 1E1 with active links or immediate access to the full terms of the project. Gutenberg license. 1. E6. You may convert to and distribute this work in any binary, compressed, marked up, non-proprietary or proprietary form, including any word processing or hypertext form. However, if you provide access to or distribute copies of a Project Gutenberg work in a format other than plain vanilla ASCII or other format used in the official version posted on the official Project Gutenberg website, www.gutenberg.org, you must, at no additional cost, fee, or expense, to the user provide a copy, a means of exporting a copy, or a means of obtaining a copy upon request of the work in its original plain vanilla ASCII or other form. Any alternate format must include the full Project Gutenberg license as specified in paragraph 1E1, 1, E7. Do not charge a fee for access to viewing, displaying, performing, copying, or distributing any Project Gutenberg works, unless you comply with paragraph 1E8 or 1E9, 1, E8. You may charge a reasonable fee for copies of or providing access to or distributing Project Gutenberg electronic works, provided that you pay a royalty fee of 20% of the gross profits you derive from the use of Project Gutenberg works calculated using the method you already use to calculate your applicable taxes. The fee is owed to the owner of the Project Gutenberg trademark, but he has agreed to donate royalties under this paragraph to the Project Gutenberg Literary Archive Foundation. Royalty payments must be paid within 60 days following each date on which you prepare or are legally required to prepare your periodic tax returns. Royalty payments should be clearly marked as such and sent to the Project Gutenberg Literary Archive Foundation at the address specified in Section 4, Information about donations to the Project Gutenberg Literary Archive Foundation. You provide a full refund of any money paid by a user who notifies you in writing or by email within 30 days of receipt that he does not agree to the terms of the full Project Gutenberg trademark license. You must require such a user to return or destroy all copies of the works possessed in a physical medium and discontinue all use of and all access to other copies of Project Gutenberg trademark works. You provide, in accordance with paragraph 1F3, a full refund of any money paid for a work or a replacement copy if a defect in the electronic work is discovered and reported to you within 90 days of receipt of the work. You comply with all other terms of this agreement for free distribution of Project Gutenberg trademark works. 1. E9. If you wish to charge a fee or distribute a Project Gutenberg trademark electronic work or group of works on different terms than are set forth in this agreement, you must obtain permission in writing from the Project Gutenberg Literary Archive Foundation, the manager of the Project Gutenberg trademark. Contact the foundation as set forth in section 3 below. 1F1F1. Project Gutenberg volunteers and employees expend considerable effort to identify, do copyright research on, transcribe, and proofread works not protected by U.S. copyright law in creating the Project Gutenberg trademark collection. Despite these efforts, Project Gutenberg trademark electronic works and the medium on which they may be stored may contain defects, such as, but not limited to, incomplete, inaccurate, or corrupt data, transcription errors, a copyright or other intellectual property infringement, a defective or damaged disk or other medium, a computer virus or computer codes that damage or cannot be read by your equipment. 1F2. Limited warranty disclaimer of damages, except for the right of replacement or refund described in paragraph 1F3, the Project Gutenberg Literary Archive Foundation, the owner of the Project Gutenberg trademark, and any other party distributing a Project Gutenberg trademark electronic work under this agreement, disclaim all liability to you for damages, costs, and expenses, including legal fees. You agree that you have no remedies for negligence, strict liability, breach of warranty, or breach of contract, except those provided in paragraph 1F3. You agree that the foundation, trademark owner, and any distributor under this agreement will not be liable to you for actual, direct, indirect, consequential, punitive, or Incidental damages, even if you give notice of the possibility of such damage. 1. F3. Limited right of replacement or refund. If you discover a defect in this electronic work within 90 days of receiving it, you can receive a refund of the money, if any, you paid for it by sending a written explanation to the person you received the work from. If you receive the work on a physical medium, you must return the medium with your written explanation. The person or entity that provided you with the defective work may elect to provide a replacement copy in lieu of a refund. If you receive the work electronically, the person or entity providing it to you may choose to give you a second opportunity to receive the work electronically in lieu of a refund. If the second copy is also defective, you may demand a refund in writing, without further opportunities to fix the problem. 1. F4. Except for the limited right of replacement or refund set forth in paragraph 1 F3, this work is provided to you as is, with no other WRNTIS of any kind, express or implied, including but not limited to WRNTIS of MERC Chanti BLATY or fitness for any purpose. 1. F5. Some states do not allow disclaimers of certain implied warranties or the exclusion or limitation of certain types of damages. If any disclaimer or limitation set forth in this agreement violates the law of the state applicable to this agreement, the agreement shall be interpreted to make the maximum disclaimer or limitation permitted by the applicable state law. The invalidity or unenforceability of any provision of this agreement shall not void the remaining provisions. 1. F6. Indemnity. You agree to indemnify and hold the foundation, the trademark owner, any agent or employee of the foundation, anyone providing copies of Project Gutenberg trademark electronic works in accordance with this agreement, and any volunteers associated with the production, promotion, and distribution of Project Gutenberg trademark electronic works, harmless from all liability, costs, and expenses, including legal fees that arise directly or indirectly from any of the following which you do or cause to occur: a distribution of this or any Project Gutenberg work; b. alteration, modification, or additions or deletions to any Project Gutenberg work; and c. any defect you cause. Section 2. Information about the mission of Project Gutenberg. Project Gutenberg is synonymous with the free distribution of electronic works in formats readable by the widest variety of computers, including obsolete, old, middle-aged, and new computers. It exists because of the efforts of hundreds of volunteers and donations from people in all walks of life. Volunteers and financial support to provide volunteers with the assistance they need are critical to reaching Project Gutenberg goals and ensuring that the Project Gutenberg collection will remain freely available for generations to come. In 2001, the Project Gutenberg Literary Archive Foundation was created to provide a secure and permanent future for Project Gutenberg and future generations. To learn more about the Project Gutenberg Literary Archive Foundation and how your efforts and donations can help, see Sections 3 and 4 and the Foundation Information page at www.gutenberg.org, Section 3. Information about the Project Gutenberg Literary Archive Foundation. The Project Gutenberg Literary Archive Foundation is a nonprofit, 501(c)(3) educational corporation organized under the laws of the state of Mississippi and granted tax-exempt status by the Internal Revenue Service. The foundation's EIN, or federal tax identification, number is 64622-1541. Contributions to the Project Gutenberg Literary Archive Foundation are tax-deductible to the full extent permitted by U.S. federal laws and your state's laws. The foundation's business office is located at 41 Watchung Plaza 516, Montclair, NJ 7042, USA, plus 1-862-620-19288. Email contact links and up-to-date contact information can be found at the foundation's website and official page at www.gutenberg.org/contact. Section 4. Information about donations to the Project Gutenberg Literary Archive Foundation. Project Gutenberg trademark depends upon and cannot survive without widespread public support and donations to carry out its mission of increasing the number of public domain and licensed works that can be freely distributed in machine-readable form accessible by the widest array of equipment, including outdated equipment. Many small donations, $1 to $5,000, are particularly important to maintaining tax-exempt status with the IRS. The foundation is committed to complying with the laws regulating charities and charitable donations in all 50 states of the United States. Compliance requirements are not uniform, and it takes a considerable effort, much paperwork, and many fees to meet and keep up with these requirements. We do not solicit donations in locations where we have not received written confirmation of compliance. To send donations or determine the status of compliance for any particular state, visit www.gutenberg.org/donate. While we cannot and do not solicit contributions from states where we have not met the solicitation requirements, we know of no prohibition against accepting unsolicited donations from donors in such states who approach us with offers to donate. International donations are gratefully accepted, but we cannot make any statements concerning tax treatment of donations received from outside the United States. U.S. laws alone swamp our small staff. Please check the Project Gutenberg web pages for current donation methods and addresses. Donations are accepted in a number of other ways, including checks, online payments, and credit card donations. To donate, please visit www.gutenberg.org/donate. Section 5. General information about Project Gutenberg Electronic Works. Professor Michael S. Hart was the originator of the Project Gutenberg concept of a library of electronic works that could be freely shared with anyone. For 40 years, he produced and distributed Project Gutenberg ebooks with only a loose network of volunteer support. Project Gutenberg ebooks are often created from several printed editions, all of which are confirmed as not protected by copyright in the U.S. unless a copyright notice is included. Thus, we do not necessarily keep ebooks in compliance with any particular paper edition. Most people start at our website, which has the main PG search facility, www.gutenberg.org. This website includes information about Project Gutenberg, including how to make donations to the Project Gutenberg Literary Archive Foundation, how to help produce our new ebooks, and how to subscribe to our email newsletter to hear about new ebooks. This is the end of the audiobook. Thank you for listening. You can listen to and download more audiobooks at threeords.com.